Good morning. It's 9:10 a.m. We have a quorum, and I've asked my city council to take their seats. I will call the city council agenda meeting for Wednesday, October 11th, 2017, to order. This morning we will have our invocation, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Mr. Kleiman. Our invocator today is Pastor Daryl Carter of Carver Heights Baptist Church in Mr. Atkins' district. Mr. Carraway suggests we let him bring him in because he's a graduate of South Oak Cliff High School in 1977 and received an associate degree in applied arts and science from Mountain View. He's earned a bachelor's degree in theology from Southwestern Baptist in Fort Worth, where he's pursuing a master's degree as well. He's an ordained deacon in Carver Heights Baptist Church in 1996, and he's worked with the youth department. He's mentored young men in organizations such as Big Brothers and Ambassadors for Christ. He was appointed assistant to the pastor in 1999 and elected co-pastor 2002, and in 2004 was installed as the pastor of Carver Heights Baptist Church after the passing of his father, Reverend Tyler Carter. Thank you so much, Pastor Carter, for coming in, and all rise for the invocation. Thank you.
Shall we pray? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. Dear Heavenly Father, we come once more again just to say thank you. And Lord, before we say thank you for anything, or ask you for anything, Lord, we just want to say thank you for blessing us this morning. I ask the Heavenly Father that you will look over this council today. I pray a special blessing right now upon our city. I ask that you shine down upon the city of Dallas. We need you in a mighty way. Our world, our country needs you in a mighty way. And I ask that you would just touch our mayor right now. Shine down upon him, bless him, and give him what he stands in need of. And then I ask that you bless the council together as a whole. Help them to work together, Lord. Help them to be unified and help them to understand what this city needs, that we may be able to work together to achieve those goals. So, Lord, we claim victory right now. We're asking, we're seeking, and we're knocking. And we know that you have already granted us the blessings. So we claim that victory right now. So it's in Jesus' name that I pray and I ask these blessings right now. These blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Carter. It's good to see you. We will take our open microphone speakers up. If anybody wants to know what my purple ribbon is, a lot of you'll see it across City Hall. This is Domestic Violence Month, and we are going to be having a breakfast where we're going to be releasing our new data here in the next couple of weeks. I appreciate Ms. Gates being chairman of the Domestic Violence Task Force. A lot of good work is being done there. With that, Ms. Johnson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our first five registered speakers this morning will be Robert Ceccarelli, Regina Ambrosia, Dolores Phillips, Vincent Castilla, and Jamie Davis. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council shall be removed from the room. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When your time is up, please stop and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings only. If you have any handouts at this time, please go ahead and hand it to the officer to your right, as it will affect your speaking time. Your first speaker, Robert Ceccarelli.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Mayor.
Morning.
About the colleges. I gave you information about the colleges, Mayor, and I hope you look into it. I have more important information right now, but I'm going to be covering it next month. But I really hope you got the information. You seriously look into my my concerns about the colleges. Sir, last month I talked about you not going to talk about the homeless at all. I saw you last month at the fundraiser, and I thank you very much for telling me to fundraiser. I'm a very smart person. I hope you listen to what I'm about to say, everybody. There's a newspaper article I'm very concerned about. It came out a week ago Sunday in the points section. It says, because we care, 13 times you take a knee to inspire change. And this is very stunning to me. I'm very shocked to everybody here. For longer than some council members have been alive, trekking to Dallas City Hall each Wednesday to argue for a solution that does not more than just have the homeless leave the homeless out of sight. In other words, you have nothing to do with the homeless. You don't want to see them at all. You'd rather have them live on the moon. And, you know, I'm very stunned about that, but not surprising. I just want to let you know that there's an important meeting on the 26th, Mr. Mayor, City Council. I'll be meeting with Nadia Hardy, Charlotte Sharp, David Nogueira, me, and James Dunn, the guy in the wheelchair about the vouchers. I would hope, I'm trying to get Cindy Crane and Mogo, who is the head of Dallas Metro Care with Housing, to discuss a couple of things, and I'm hoping Ms. Gates and Mr. Clayton come, because I believe Ms. Gates is very conservative, Mr. Clayton is very liberal. I'm trying to get a bipartisan information about what me and Mr. James Dunn are going to talk about, and Cindy Crane is very livid about the shelters. She said in an editorial that the homeless would rather die on the streets than live in the shelters. Mr. Mogo is very passionate about housing and the desperation people need housing. And it's about an hour. It's 2 o'clock on the 26th. Mr. Mayor, if you cannot make it, I really expect you to come there, sir, because you need to give redemption of what I just read, where you'd rather have the homeless live on the moon. You have nothing to do with the homeless. It's been going on for decades. And there was one city council member talked about the Dallas Life Foundation, where they have beds. But the only reason why they have beds available is because it charges $12 a day. This city council member forgot to tell us that. It happened last year. If you're going to tell us, make sure you tell us the whole thing. And I got 15 seconds. All I'm trying to say to you is that I hope that there's a major changes here, because right now nothing's happening on the homeless commission. Why you have the city council members pick the same people where city council members do not care about the homeless, sir? You're doing the same thing as last year. You got 15 people and only 2 people that are homeless on that commission. It completely failed. Thank you very much.
Your next speaker, Regina Ambrosia.
Hello, my name is Regina Ambrosia, and I'm in the 14th District. Mayor, I'm here today to caution you. Before you and the other council members vote to purchase the hydrofluorosilicic acid again, the HFS, you all, including the city manager and the attorneys, need to look into the 12-year fluoride study that was just published on September 19, 2017. The credibility of this study is beyond reproach. Funded by the U.S. and conducted by the prestigious universities like Harvard, Purdue, University of Michigan, and others. Magoo, we got something new. So this study concluded children of mothers ingesting fluoride at levels found in the Dallas tap water had up to a 6-point drop in IQ. This study isolated fluoride and fluoride alone as the determining factor that lowered the IQ. Although CNN, Newsweek, and others published articles on this study, this bombshell report has not gotten the attention it warrants. So, I wanted to make sure you and the public knew something about this study before you vote, because the Dallas Fluoridation Program contains many more brain neurotoxins than just fluoride. The HFS itself contains lead, arsenic, mercury, and radioactive particles. Also, HFS aggressively leaches lead from the pipes. Lead exposure plus fluoride exposure can bring even greater loss of IQ in developing children. And blacks and Hispanics are 4 to 6 times more likely to be affected than Caucasians. This aspect comes straight from the government reports and institutional studies. And we have told you this over the last 4 years. I'm glad you're back, Mr. Carraway. HFS can no longer be considered a health risk. It's not a risk. The results of ingesting it can be expected and can be forecasted. The decision for purchasing this HFS should be easy. You are deciding between possible tooth decay reduction and expected brain damage. Okay? I encourage everyone to go to Dogs Against Fluoridation, and you can see the links to the actual studies and reports. And you can read why the website is named Dogs Against Fluoridation. The Dallas Fluoridation Program was started in 1965 by a vote of the council. 9 on this council can stop the fluoridation program immediately, not waiting for the funds allocation vote. Every day it continues, people are being negatively affected. I would not want this liability, but mostly I would not want this on my conscience. I have 12 more seconds. Okay, so Dogs Against Fluoridation. You all know we've been coming for a long time. Mr. Medrano did not vote to purchase the hydrofluorosilic acid, and I know that Mr. Carraway was interested in the concerns about what LULAC brought forward about the Hispanics and the blacks. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Next speaker, Dolores Phillips. Dolores Phillips, District 3. I did send you 5 emails on yesterday with a total of 12 attachments. These documents are what was forwarded to the Supreme Court in 1681-38. 1682-79, 1683-84. The documents made it to the court September 25th. I don't know if they received them as I sent them because they have been intercepting my documents and botching them before they got to court. I also received notice that it was denied, so this is now public record. I've also forwarded from these documents to OCR downtown. Before the United States Department of Justice went to Baltimore, Ferguson, and to Penn State twice, people behind the scenes, citizens, and even people that work for the government had been calling for over a decade for assistance. It was not until the United States Department of Justice did their thorough, microscopic, telescopic investigation that they found out that it was a collusion of the courts, officers, and other government officials that was throwing citizens under the bus, mainly the poor, to make money. Behind the scenes, if you think what you were running, talking about open, is something, then behind the scenes they were literally sabotaging my education, detaching assignments from Blackboard. Corporal Codner, who arrested me on October 25th, 2013, after a meeting instructed by Mayor Rollins that was arranged 2 to 3 weeks prior, let it be told by Ms. Thorne that I'm bipolar. I've went and requested my pharmacy records from CVS, from Walgreens, from 2007. I asked them to unpurge anything that has been purged from 2001. You will get those records. What I want to show is when Nick Novello did his 2007 YouTube video, whistleblower DPD Nick Novello, who's now retired, he said, please help me. They're trying to make me undergo a bogus psychological evaluation to take my gun because I whistleblowed, and they're trying to say that I'm mentally imbalanced now that I whistleblowed. So nothing what you do is a surprise to me. I don't have to see any of you on Judgment Day. I'm giving it back in peace and truth. As soon as I finish my petition for review in the Supreme Court of Texas 17-0610, I'm going to relentlessly be writing the United States Department of Justice about your ongoing cover-up from 2009 and that you deliberately altered, unlawfully redacted the video of October 25th, 2013, and I'm going to push duly and relentlessly for Corporal Herbert Cotner to be put on the Brady's list because he's a danger to citizens. And also, Miss Mary Lou Belize Thorne, who is a social worker for DPD, who is his cheerleader with pom-poms, needs to be reprimanded. And I say bless you, and it's coming. Thank you.
Next speaker, Vincent Castile. Vincent Castile, you may come forward.
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? I've come here today for my business, Making the World Famous, which is Extra Crispy Not Burnt, put in place a mobile barbershop that that I want to put in front of you guys. I've continued to try to make way for the size of my vehicle. I bought a 2017 Thor motor coach and converted it into a barbershop with three chairs in it. I've received a license from the state to do so, but as far as the state is concerned, I have to come to the city to present what I'm not able to do with my vehicle and see if I can get a way to do such a thing. I don't know. I have these pictures in my presentation that I can give to you guys. I've made a couple requests to go down to 320 Jefferson and find a way to get permission from the city to work in areas like maybe a dog park or something like that. There's certain things that I can and can't do. I know in the city, on the city streets, they don't allow for the size of the vehicle, not being able to work on the street next to a residential area. I went to 320 Jefferson to ask for a certificate of occupancy, which one of the investigators told me I needed to ask for. That wasn't allowed to me for my vehicle. Because it is a vehicle, not a standalone building, I need some kind of permit to work in the city. So the only permits you guys allow are pretty much 24-hour permits, 48-hour permits, and temporary, which are like holidays or if I want to sell T-shirts or something to somebody in the city for that particular event. My thing is I've kind of tried to emulate the food truck industry with what I'm doing. I'm not a smaller vehicle. I went ahead and purchased a bigger vehicle so I can put other barbers and, you know, do work with the community as well. Some of my mentors are Tony Woods, Corey Maples with Mr. Wingfield. They purchased his burger business to and created a food truck. They're out at Fair Park right now doing, you know, serving the community. And they do community work and stuff as well. So I want to make a way for myself and my food truck. And my mobile barbershop with the parking in the city and participate. I do back to school stuff, YMCA, Dallas. I've already done stuff with Frito-Lay, Reebok, or some of my sponsors and different things like that. So I'm already picking up within the 6 months that I've had it. I've wrapped it really big, really nice, but I'm catering to high-end clientele. I want to go from downtown Dallas all the way to Frisco or just wherever I can do that. So,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mr. Caraway, questions?
Thank you. And David Costum, if I could get Mr. Costum up, and if he could come, Mr. City Manager, you can kind of keep an ear on what I'm about to ask. What, Mr. Costum, does it take for this type of...
Thank you, Mr. Castle.
Thank you, we got you.
Good.
What does it take for this type of operation?
Well, right now, I don't believe either the mobile vendor code or the zoning code would allow the use, and certainly in a residential area. Our ordinance pretty much requires a temporary structure to be mounted permanently today under the zoning ordinance. Now, if he's just going to a client facility, I don't think there's an issue. If he would be parking the bus or van at a facility and basically taking customers, and customers were showing up at that facility the code really doesn't provide for that type of scenario currently.
Well, what, so if the code does not do that, then how does the dog grooming, pets, they have the same thing. They're grooming hair for the little dogs.
Right, and typically...
But he's doing hair, and right. They go to in a mobile operation to go out and groom the dogs. What is the difference in their mobile operation that is also in a neighborhood residential area? What would be the difference in a permit to give it to someone cutting hair?
Now, my understanding on most of the dog grooming vehicles, and I'm not very familiar with it, but is that they would go to the client's residence,
right.
Similar to any other type of service,
right.
And provide that service at the client's residence, maybe in the vehicle, but they're at that property. So it's a little different than parking and bringing off, you know, in a parking lot or somewhere else and bringing clients to you at that facility. So that's kind of the narrow distinction.
Okay. Well, what would be the difference downtown in all of our high-rise, in which is a resident and a business community, for those folks to come down with the little puppies and go in and have their pets groomed versus the same thing that this gentleman is trying to achieve? Because I think it's a great idea, sure. Super idea.
And
I've seen one of the mobile units out at one of some location as far out in Garland where the mobile unit has the barbershop inside, and they come in. Is it that he's requesting to go and set up on a parking lot and be there, or is he trying to go and see clients that have called for the service? It's like if I want to get my hair cut, he can come here to City Hall, park outside, cut my hair, and go to his next location.
And I think that would be fine. And we're happy to visit with them because, it is an opportunity for an incubator, if you will, of businesses similar to the food truck industry. But currently under our codes, there's really not a provision that would allow. I mean, ZOAC looked at temporary retail, and the City Plan Commission has looked at that issue in the past, and to date has not chosen to adopt any new regulations in terms of allowing for temporary, a wider variety of temporary retail.
And I'll sum it up. I really would like for you all to get with the gentleman, and then let's begin to think outside of the box, because he has thought outside of the box, a mobile hair cutting barbershop. And since we have the dog grooming that I'm familiar with, that they roll around and go into the neighborhood, park inside a residential area, and they groom the puppies and all of that, I think that same level of permit should be considered.
And I think that's a model that would work today going to the clients.
Mr. Carraway, ask a question.
Happy to visit with them.
Questions, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Broadnax, did you have mobile business licensing in Tacoma?
Only for food trucks, but mobile vending license is similar to Mr. Costum's explanation about going to a person's residence and just occupying your business in a mobile fashion, but not actually conducting the service in a vehicle. But, again, I think we should have started with, can you work with the gentleman and find a way to see if that's something that would be suitable for the city of Dallas and look at other cities and see how they align their codes, if that's where you're headed. But
I think what we're going to find is that the code 100% prohibits what this gentleman described. We've talked about this for the last 3 years. Would it be more helpful? Would it make our city more vibrant to have mobile vending?
I guess that's a policy question. I think the more we can do to recognize and appreciate people's entrepreneurial spirit, particularly when it does not negatively impact communities, and or we can mitigate those incidents, I think is good. I mean, you see that with our private sector-led bike-sharing programs and other kinds of things. And so, again, I think it would be and should be something we should look at and talk with our colleagues in other cities who have allowed them to figure out how we can calibrate that for the city of Dallas.
That's basically a perfect answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Kotsam, Mr. Castillo lives in District 12. Would you come visit with me about this?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Next speaker, Jamie Davis. Not present. Jesse Soraya. Not present. Joe Stokes. Mr. Stokes is coming forward, and Mr. Stokes will be our final morning speaker.
Joe Stokes, 8930 San Benito Way, Dallas. Mayor Rawlings and Dallas City Council members, you are in a tough spot. You've been presented with abundant evidence that fluoridation is harmful. Ego says feign ignorance, do nothing, save face. The mature soul, on the other hand, says, I want the truth. I made a mistake. My mistake harms others. I'll fix it. I commend those who presented to you the results of recent research proving that fluoride damages the developing brains of children in utero, resulting in lowered cognitive function. I applaud the 1,500 Environmental Protection Agency scientists who call for a moratorium to adding fluoride to drinking water because of negative health effects. I appreciate that some can comprehend that hydrofluorosilicic acid that you add to Dallas water is not pharmaceutical-grade fluoride, but a toxic waste product of the phosphate fertilizer industry. I commend those who can understand fluoride added to water is not to treat the water, but to treat those who ingest it and understand the illegality of dispensing medicine without a license, and especially a medicine whose dosage cannot be controlled. I appreciate those who have done their research to discover evidence that fluoridated water causes dental fluorosis in around 40% of children. The same fluoride also causes skeletal fluorosis, making bones hard but brittle and thereby contributing to fractures, especially of the hip. My heart goes out to the mostly minority children being silently poisoned by hydrofluorosilicic acid, leaching lead from aging pipes in older homes, and releasing the lead into the water they drink. I admire Highland Park and University Park, who had the intelligence and integrity to refuse to add fluoride to their water for 62 years. I'm proud to report that I and others informed me of the findings of a Harvard University meta-analysis that concluded that children exposed to high levels of fluoride suffer an average of 7 to 15% loss in IQ. I am outraged that these facts fell on deaf ears. Remaining ignorant when it is our duty to be informed is a flimsy excuse in a court of law and in the eyes of God. I am dismayed that so many otherwise intelligent people's fluoride education began and ended with the tired and untrue meme invented by a PR firm, fluoride is good for your teeth. You could end this practice of adding poison to our water today. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now move to our voting agenda. Item 1, approval of minutes of the September 27, 2017 City Council meeting.
We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
There was a last-minute change to the consent agenda, but your consent agenda consisted of agenda items 2 through 12. There were no addendum consent agenda items. Agenda item 4 was pulled by Councilmembers Kingston and Griggs. Agenda item 8 was pulled by Councilmember Felder. And agenda item 11 was pulled by Councilmember Atkins. Therefore, your consent agenda consists of agenda items 2, 3, 5 through 7, 9, 10, and agenda item 12.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 4, authorized payment of annual membership fees and continuation of arrangements for providing specialized municipal-related services to Gardner, Inc. in the amount of $120,208, North Central Texas Council of Governments in the amount of $127,017, Texas Municipal League in the amount of $55,778, Encore City Steering Committee in the amount of $158,152, Texas Coalition of Cities for Utility Issues in the amount of $52,718, North Texas Commission in the amount of $60,000, Water Research Foundation in the amount of $292,852, and Water Environment and Reuse Foundation in the amount of $84,050, total not to exceed $950,775. This item was pulled by Council Members Kingston and Griggs.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Gates.
Move for approval.
A motion second. Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move to separate North Texas Commission.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
I'm not allowed on.
Oh, discussion. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this has come up a number of times, and the opposition's efforts have been thwarted, and we've tried to show them that there's a very important reason to be involved in this group. It's been involved 45 years. The city of Dallas set it up. It's a very unique system where we have the not only elected officials, we have university presidents as well as the major companies of the North Texas region involved. And I serve on the executive board and would like to continue to do so and advocate for the city of Dallas. We want to drive our agenda through the city of Dallas. We've also asked for a council person from the city of Fort Worth to be on the executive committee. We will come to the governmental affairs or ad hoc governmental relations committee probably 3-4 times a year to show them what our strategy is going to be. And the dues that we pay are about $60,000 a year. We also, for our money, we get a very talented and able
point of order
lobby group, which is Mr. Drew Campbell.
Question separation.
Well, we're carrying on because I'm explaining why we need to continue to be involved.
It's not thank you. Not relevant.
Thank you. I got it. Excuse me. Thank you. Mr. Kingston?
No, sir.
Okay, let's have a record vote to separate. The issue is to separate.
Please start voting. Yep. 14 have voted. All have voted.
Okay.
Voting in favor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmember Gates, Felder, Clayton, Narvaez, Kingston, Grayson, Griggs. Voting no, Councilmembers McGue, Thomas, Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, Kleinman, Councilmember Kleinman, Mayor Rollins, Councilmembers Callahan and Atkins. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor, 8-7.
Okay. So we will take the motion up for all items, ex-North Texas Commission. We'll assume that motion still stands, Ms. Gates, right? Okay, thank you. Any discussion on all those items, ex-North Texas Commission? Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that council ought to inquire of Mr. Casto and the intergovernmental staff over the next year or so about the continued efficacy of our relationship with TML. TML does the very best it can, but it's a membership organization, the vast majority of whose members are small cities and towns with extremely different priorities. At TML this last week, I was very struck by how different their priorities are than ours. Right now in the legislature, with so many local control issues coming up, we find ourselves fairly well aligned with them a lot of the time. That will not be the case in the long term. And you see the larger cities, they may continue to, even when they continue to pay the dues to TML, they're participating less and less. And I think that we need to make sure that we're not spending tax dollars on an entity that advocates against us, as happened in the 2015 session with HB 40, where TML, without even so much as a phone call to us, cut a deal with the House to preempt our urban drilling ordinance. And, I mean, so truly we paid somebody to go invalidate an ordinance we had just passed a year before. It's we need to think carefully about that organization. I think for this year it's good enough to be in it one more year, but over the course of the next 12 months I'd like to see if Ms. Grayson would be, or actually I guess it's probably Mr. Kleinman's ad hoc legislative committee is probably the right place to put it. If we could have some discussion of that, it's we may decide to continue in it, but I think that we shouldn't do that without examining what we're doing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I do agree with my colleague there that we need to take a close look at TML and their priorities. National League of Cities, we have something known as the Large City Committee there to advocate for large city. Perhaps we might want to look at a group like that to kind of organize statewide to get San Antonio, Austin, El Paso, Fort Worth, Austin, some other of the larger cities involved, because our priorities are clearly different. Over the last number of years, probably last 25 years, we've watched the legislature kind of change from an urban mix to more of a power. The power is kind of put into the hands of those out in the rural areas, and it's starting to bite the larger cities. So I think it's clearly time for us to kind of take up for ourselves, fend for ourselves. We need to be more involved to be able to do that, though. I think it's real critical at this day and age to do that, because it's about critical resources and highway funds, water funds, education money, all those things that really matter to the big cities. It matters to the rural areas because they're in the development stage, but we're already developed. We need those funds. We need to make sure that we have the votes to continue here in the larger cities. So I think it's probably a good time to hit the pause button and take a look at that.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I certainly agree with what Mr. Callahan just said related to TML and what Mr. Kingston said. This vote that we're taking right now is on Ms. Gates' motion, correct, to include paying dues, Mayor?
Excuse me?
Yeah. This motion is about paying dues to the commission.
Yes.
Okay.
North Texas Commission. All items except North Texas Commission.
Was that Ms. Gates' motion?
Yes.
No, we're...
Excuse me. Hold on, guys. There was an initial motion for the whole item.
Right.
Then we decided to separate it, so we're taking up all items ex North Texas Commission right now to pay those dues.
Everything except the commission.
Correct.
Okay. I do want to say that I think that this discussion that we're having this year, and I think we had it last year also, should be a message to the North Texas Commission that we are really taking a hard look at whether we're going to continue our dues or not. And
we'll talk about that in a second.
Oh, all right.
If you don't mind.
All right. No, that's fine.
Thank you. Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? One opposed. Mr. Gregg's motion carries. Now we'll take up North Texas Commission. Is your motion to approve, Ms. Gates? Okay, Ms. Gates' motion, Mr. Atkins' second, discussion on North Texas Commission. Mr. Kingston.
I think our taxpayers need to understand that the North Texas Commission was the driving force behind the Wright Amendment. What we can see now in hindsight is that the Wright Amendment crippled the city's ability to provide air service through Love Field for decades. It was a mistake at the time. The repeal of it has basically demonstrated very clearly that the region is perfectly capable of supporting two major airports. And the result of these weird regionalists at North Texas Commission's philosophy is that our own citizens were paying, again, for somebody to advocate against their own interests. And the North Texas Commission has consistently advocated against the interests of the city of Dallas. Furthermore, since the airport issue has gone away, I mean, this was really a single-purpose entity. It was about the airport. Now that that's gone away, now that that's not an issue anymore, there is not one single item that North Texas Commission advocates for that we don't get advocacy for in some other way. It is a 100% duplicative membership. And Mr. Broadnax, I've been told for years, give it one more year, and next year you're going to see all the good work it did. Well, it's been 4 years. I don't think it's reasonable for me to wait longer than 4 years to see results from spending taxpayer dollars on what is essentially a vanity membership in a bizarre and basically obsolete organization. Generally, Mr. Broadnax, when I ask you for the specific reasons that we're undertaking a policy, you give me back specific reasons and data, and that hasn't happened in this case, so I cannot support this membership. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. As I started to say, I am willing to give it one more year, and Mr. Callahan has assured us that he is going to be advocating for changes and for making us have the value out of this organization that our membership should be paying for. So I'm willing to give it one more year, and I will vote in favor of this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I don't really think the organization is duplicative, and mainly because we focus more on education, business, and commerce, as well as interaction between elected officials in the North Texas region. I don't know that there really is any other group like that. You know, COG is more of a research arm. some of the like regional transportation group, you know, that is geared more towards transportation. So this really goes. This is about university funding in the North Texas area. It's about elevating our business stature. We have some of the largest companies in the world here. You know, the people that are seated at the table are the Bell Helicopters, TI, American Airlines, Southwest Airlines, Tenet Healthcare, and many of those large companies that we interact with. And it's important that they stay here. It's important that they be involved in the government and also have an interaction with their elected officials. And this is a good way of doing that. But yes, we do need more out of the group, and I'm pledging to do that. That's the reason I've rolled my sleeves up to get involved. I first got on the board, then I moved to the executive board, and I've called upon them to drive our agenda through that group. I said, we're the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And I said, if Dallas doesn't matter, then North Texas Commission doesn't matter. So it's up to us, and we need to be involved. And Mr. Thomas, our colleague, has asked that we come to the legislative affairs group three or four times a year to give a report. But we have had a consultant that has been paid to come in and basically reset the table, reset goals, and so I'm looking forward to doing that. But I think it's a necessary group. With regard to the Wright Amendment, I just thought that was kind of an off-base thing. I think clearly the city, that was the deal that the City of Dallas and Fort Worth made years ago. We needed to pay for the bonds for DFW Airport. We wanted to make sure that people flew out of there, and there was no way that Fort Worth and some of our other partners were going to sign off on that unless we had the Wright Amendment. It was right then, but yet later it changed, and I think you'll find most of the North Texas Commission people were on board when we made that change. And that it was done for a clear reason back in the 70s. But as it became antiquated, outmoded, then we moved away from that. It was just something that needed to be done at the time. But now that the region has 7 million people, obviously it can support two airports, and that's the reason we moved away from it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I'm not incorrect, this came up during our budgeting process as we talked about making some amendments. And one of the, as Councilman O'Callaghan spoke about, he made certain commitments to each of us regarding being updated on a consistent basis. We haven't had time in order to see if that's going to happen or not. So I think we should go ahead and move forward, renew this, and then see if they'll do what they agreed to do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Brent. You know, back down in Austin and everything, we look at the North Texas, the leadership, have the city of Dallas ready to take a leadership role in this organization?
Yes.
So compared to the other region and other city, do you feel like we're in a back seat or we're in the front seat?
With regards to this specific organization?
That's correct.
No, I believe we have a front seat. Mr. Callahan's on the executive committee.
If you can just get a little bit closer, Brent. Thanks.
Mr. Callahan is on the executive committee. Raquel is on the board of directors. And we've actually met recently with their president and expressed some of the concerns that we've talked about here. So we feel like that we definitely have a seat at the table.
So therefore, we got to see at the table. Do you see that we need to make some changes? You have the pulse on what's going on in Austin, Texas. What is your view?
I think that we need to continue to be engaged with them as regularly as possible. We've asked them for a work plan with some performance measures, and we want to make sure that we hold them accountable. Like Mr. Callahan said, we will be coming back to the committee regularly to report to the council on what they're doing and how they are benefiting specifically Dallas.
Have we received the work plans and how to benefit? Have we received the information
yet? We're working on that right now. We've expressed to them some of the issues that they can be involved in, and we hope to have that back from them within the next month or so.
So therefore, we are waiting on more additional information. Thank you.
Thank you. We will do a record vote since there's some disagreement.
Please start voting. 11 have voted. 14. All have voted. Voting in favor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers McHugh, Thomas, Mayor Pro Tem Caraway, Councilmember Gates, Kleiman, Mayor Rawlings, Councilmembers Callahan, Grayson, and Atkins. Voting no, Councilmembers Felder, Clayton, Narvaez, Kingston, and Griggs. This motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Agenda item 8 is a professional services contract with GSR Andrade Architects, Inc., for improvements at the DeGoyer House and the Camp House and installations of new sidewalks along Garland Road at the Dallas Arboretum located at 8525 Garland Road. This item was pulled by Councilmember Felder.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Grayson.
Move approval.
Got a motion. Second. Discussion, Ms. Felder.
Yes. Excuse me. I pulled this item because I continue to find it very objectionable to keep passing these contracts without adequate minority participation, especially African-American participation. You know, when I looked at the contract and I see where they have participation with Hispanic contractor and Indian contractors, but no African-American contracting participation. Zarin, would you come to the microphone, please? Can you talk to me about, you know, how this contract came about, why we didn't get any African-American participation on this?
I can't speak to how this contract came about, but I can talk to you about the actual MWBE participation. A couple of things I want to point out first is that the Prime is actually a certified MWBE, mm-hmm. And then also they had an Asian Indian male, both of which their certification expired.
Right.
So with that, if you add all of that up, that's 83.68%. Now, in terms of the diversity of the team, we didn't get, you know, any African-American participation, but in terms of diversity, we have Native American, Asian Indian, and all of that. And I'm particularly excited about the Native American piece because that's another area where we've fallen short.
Right.
And we've connected with the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma to kind of start doing some outreach to increase participation in that area as well. But overall is 83.68, and once those two certifications are renewed, mm-hmm. Then we can add that. So we'll send an update.
Right. So, you know, again, council colleagues, the bottom line is this. Minority is one thing, but African-American is another. And so I am going to continue to fight and to advocate for African-American participation in these contracts. Our community cannot survive. We cannot thrive. We cannot be viable in this city, at the city, without African-American participation. It has to happen. It has to increase. And so that is why I'm doing this. I will continue to advocate for it because it's the right thing to do. There are four African-Americans sitting on this council. And we have to begin to show a change, an increase, and a difference. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with Mr. Felder's comments and won't repeat them just for the sake of time. But does this contract include sidewalks on Garland Road, Mr. Clayton?
It absolutely does.
I think I'm going to faint. I'm so happy about that. That is a massive improvement and something that's needed to happen for a long time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. And I agree with my colleague, Mr. Felder. You know, I remember Councilwoman Hill always made the statement, you know, if you just don't keep bringing it up, and if you just don't think it matters, then it won't matter. You've got to keep really reminding people that we've got to push for fairness, you know, here. And I concur totally, and I've certainly advocated since I've been on the council for that. And also not just women as a part of that component, but also minority women having a fair shake. So we need to, quote unquote, shake the bushes until we get more contractors, give them a fair opportunity. And if we can't make them the outright contractor, let's make them the subs. I spoke in committee about this item. My attitude was this. I feel like the Arboretum is a very profitable venture. And there's no doubt in my mind that the Arboretum, you know, and folks along Garland Road, I know Mr. Kingston has advocated very passionately for that. We do need sidewalks, there's no doubt about it. But I just don't think that we ought to have to pick up the tab. I think the Arboretum makes enough money that they can pay for those sidewalks longer. No offense to the Arboretum, love it, go out there 10 times a year. But I just think that with their profit center that they've got and the number of participants and people that show up there, I just think they ought to be able to pay for them rather than pay for them through the city or through the bond campaign. So that's my feeling. So this time I'm going to vote no against that.
Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And listening to some of the comments as related to African Americans, and I hear that we've been advocating that for years, but the true discussion should be, as what I've said years ago, and I continue to say, and it's not about African American participation. It should not be about African American participation. It should not be about minority participation. It should not be about minority participation. When you look at the fact and the reason that these conversations continue even today, because we are, and we the minority, so say, are the ones that are trying to get and vie for the 33 additional percent of the participation of the contract. And those that are participating under the umbrella of minorities are African Americans, Latinos, Asians, women, and others. Now, with that being said, I hate minority participation. I believe that we should have minority participation, but I think who should be participating and looking for and hiring the participators should be the partners. What I feel that we should be pushing for is for minority partnership, and then the partners pick those that are going to participate. If you look at the American Airlines, for example, minority participation when American Airlines was built, minority participation. They came in. Some may have done electrical. Some may have done the excavating, and some may have done the carpet, for example. They participated. But now, who is the owner? Who is the benefactor today, 20 years later? Who is making the dollars off of the popcorn, the peanuts, and the hot dogs? That is where we are missing the boat. I think that we should push, and Mr. Felder, I agree with you, but I think we should push for a greater height of people being able to participate and a partnership. And then when you are a partner, then partners do the hiring to see who's going to be the ones to participate in something. Right now, American Airlines is built, but there are no African Americans per se that are making a percentage off of the popcorn that's being sold, the parking, the Coca-Colas, the hot dogs, and the pretzels. They participated in putting it up there, granted, but that participation was just a short time. You know, we participated, we built it, but who is enduring even today, 20 years later, off of something that we built? So I want to I'm just taking this opportunity to push and to say that I fight for minority partnership first. Let's get some partners that's going to be a partner in the hotel that's being built here, and get a partner, and then those partners come together and then begin to figure out who's going to participate as well. If it's a partnership, then that's more long-term than participating. Yes, they will come and bring the trucks and excavate out, and they will do the painting and all of that, but for the next 30, 40, 50 years, only one participator, one person, one owner is the benefactor of it. I think we will never rise until we become equal enough to become partners in things, and then partners discuss, well, okay, now we own this. Now who are we going to have to come in and bring the dump trucks? Who are we going to have to come in and bring the concrete in? If we are never at the table of partnership, then we will always be the recipients of the crumbs that they're going to push out, that are going to be the one-time opportunities to be in recipient of that. We will never grow until we become a partner. AT&T Stadium is built, and there is a lot of minority participation, but Mr. Jones is the one with the popcorn and the hot dogs and the parking and all of the other benefits that are going on, and he needs to have a partner. And in the future, I would just suggest that's where we need to really begin to push, where I'm going to continue to push anyway, for partnership. And let the partners decide who they're going to have to participate. It becomes a much fairer game when we're at the table. But we just build it, and then they operate it, then they make the decisions as to, well, we'll do this and we'll do that, and we'll do this, and it never benefits us. We will not grow until we become someone sitting at the main table. Not in the other room in the table. At the main table is where the dollars are made and where the plan goes down and where the benefits go from not just that one-time event of participating, but that second and third year and the fourth year and the fifth year and the 20th year and the family trusts and things that are benefited from it in the long range. So I'm going to stop, but I just want to begin to make sure that folks understand that I'm talking about partnership. I talk about partnership first, and I'm going to continue to talk about partnership and ownership And I think that the things that we are doing, the dollars that we are giving, we ought to be talking about, well, who's going to be your partner in that? Not your participator. Partners come together and make joint decisions. And so who's going to be your partner? That's what I'm looking forward for. Who's going to be the partner of the next big high-rise that's going up that's going to benefit us in the long range, in the long term? Then when you're at the table, then decisions are made collectively. Who we're going to hire? And then we can speak about who we're going to hire and making sure that the numbers are even better.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to clarify to Mr. Callahan's question and comments. So on this isn't something that – there were some existing bond funds that were using for the design of this, but the sidewalk that's being built in front of the Arboretum is not to benefit the Arboretum. Now, they'll get some ancillary benefits, but I can tell you that if they had their druthers, they do not want their grass torn up. The reason that this sidewalk is important to me is a handful of years ago, a number of the neighborhoods got together and did what they call the Garland Road Vision, which is what they want. That everybody came together and said, this is what we want our area to be. One of the biggest challenges to Garland Road is there's three neighborhoods that are on the doctor's hospital side of Garland. And if they want to get to the lake, they either have to go through a crumbled alley to try to push a stroller, or they have to cross Garland Road, cut through a neighborhood, then cross back over Garland. And so by doing the sidewalk, it connects that to allow people to get to the spillway where all the trails are to get to the lake. The only other option that we could have done, theoretically, is to do it where we do eminent domain on private property, and which wasn't really an option. So where the benefit will be is, one, it will allow people to finally bike to the Arboretum, which is something that we don't have now. But more importantly, it's going to allow these neighborhoods to be able to get to the lake in a capacity that they don't have right now, which is important, especially for people pushing strollers and kids. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Zarin, will you come forward, please? While you come forward, Zarin, you know, in the past, I always do look at MWBE and the process, how we award contracts. Could you walk us through the procedure and the process, how we award contracts and through your procurement? When you look at a contract, in this particular contract, when it came back to you, how do you look at it through the MWBE eyes, and what were your suggestions, what you did? I know for 8 years that I reviewed every contract before it came to City Council, and I did ask, do we have African American or Hispanic to be participating in the contract? And if you were a general contract, would you please go and try to find someone?
Yep.
I could not tell them where to go, but we suggest them in good faith. And in these contracts, when you got to wear a good faith, it's just a good faith effort. Is there no teeth in good faith?
Correct. Failed to mention, introduce myself the last time, Zarin Gracie, Office of Business Diversity. Once a contract comes back in after solicitations or responses are submitted, a portion of it comes to the compliance office. That's the Office of Business Diversity. We review it. Sometimes they come with their team already. Other times they come without a team. But we give them a list of MWBE contractors to outreach to add to their team. They make their good faith effort. They send their forms back, and then they have their team. We call who they've reached out to make sure that they are aware that they've been included on this contract. Once we do that, we sign off on it and send it back to the department saying that we're okay with this MWBE participation.
And by doing that, I think there is a clause there, not a clause, but a hiccup, that we are not reaching out enough. The MWBE, the manner of the contract, is not reaching out to us, to the city of Dallas, find out what is on our agenda, what contract is there to reach out to. So what are we doing to educate the community and the business people know there is contracts available, and how often they are available, and what can we do as a city to reach back out to those African Americans, those Latinos, those partners, to make sure. I know that when we did the Honor Hotel,
that we had to go all the way to Atlanta, Georgia, to get a contractor to build it because we did not have a black contractor to do it, an African-American contractor to do it. And they was a general that we had to go and make sure all the subcontract was bonded and insurance to get that to be part of that job. So what are we doing as a city to educate, to build capacity, to make sure we have minorities qualified to do the work, but also be insured and also be bonded and to make sure they do know those contractors available?
So under the new Office of Business Diversity, we've been disseminating this new strategy for a while. Before, we've always had an objective of diversity compliance, which is your MWBE participation. We've recently added two new program objectives, opportunity creation and capacity building, to address the participation versus partnerships. We've created a diversity task force. Specifically to your question, we've created a business diversity task force, and we're taking all of those upcoming opportunities, and we give them to those. That task force consists of our the chambers, the contractors associations, and all the other organizations saying, here's a list of everything we have upcoming. Here's a list of, I gave them the list of the outcomes for the last agenda to say, here's where we fell short. If you know anyone in these areas or these categories, please let us know. So if they're not registered, we can get them registered. If they're not certified, we can get them certified. So we're using our diversity task force, which consists of all of our ethnic chambers, contractors, associations, and other organizations to help us do that outreach in advance before we get there. The other thing we're doing is we're going to do what we're calling kind of a pre-solicitation, where we do outreach and say, here's a list of items coming up. Here's what you need to do to get in and get prepared. From there, and we're speaking specifically to joint ventures to come to the table as a joint venture and don't just count yourself out because you don't think you have the capacity as a standalone company.
So what I'm hearing, and I guess, Kim, would you come forward, please? I think what I'm hearing right now that we understand what's going on in the past, and we are trying to restructure our organization, Kim, to see how do we reach out further to make sure we got diversity of African-American, Latinos. We have to make sure they're aware of the contract, but also try to educate them. Is that a fair statement, Kim?
Yes, sir, that is.
Okay, so now to do that, how often are we doing? Are we going back to the community, going back to the business community and say, here are the contracts. We got a bond package coming up in November, and when that bond package comes up, we got hundreds of millions of dollars to say, here are projects that you can bid on right now. How are we going to educate those businesses? What is your plan to do that?
Thank you, Councilmember Atkins. We actually, as part of the Diversity Task Force, we have a subcommittee of that group that's focused on the bond program. So that work has already been underway for the last month or so. We're having regular meetings with both the full diversity task force and with the subcommittee focused on the bond program.
Thank you very much. With that, I thank colleagues. We have learned from the past. We know we do have a hiccup in the system right now, but we are trying to make sure all minority contract and also building partnership. We are trying to do that. And I thank TC, thank Kim and Zion for y'all did feel like we did have a little hole, a little gap there. We're trying to fill that gap. It's going to take some time, but we got to outreach more. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Kleinman hasn't spoken yet.
Thank you. Just briefly, I know my colleague, Mr. Atkins, mentioned the bond program, and we did brief Envision in the MSIS. And one of the things that we're going to do there, we have a commitment from staff, is to train MWBE contractors in Envision to actually educate them further so they could be more viable for projects in the future with us and other entities. So I'm very excited about that component of the education that will be going on prior to the bond program.
Thank you. Mr. Callahan.
Thank you, Mayor. I think Council Member Atkins was right on target with regard to his comments. You've got to find out why. And I think he got right down to it. You know, I think this diversity task force is a great idea and certainly has merit. And, you know, the real keys here, again, just want to accentuate these items, is capitalization of the business and the capacity building of that organization and also the insurance. You know, without the insurance, that's really where most of these groups falter. But that it's a chicken and egg or a catch-22. You have to have enough capacity, and you can't get the capacity without the contract. Once you get the contract and get some money, then you can buy the insurance. So I think that joint partnership thing is the right thing to do. Perhaps consideration or encouragement of mergers between some of these smaller entities, minority contractors, I think is the way to get there. But we've got to keep pushing, and I think, again, I think it has a lot of merit, this task force, because this is the way to create a pathway forward to get there, and then we can set back, I think, on our laurels and realize that our percentages will go up. And that's what we're all after. Clearly, the African-American community is an important component of our community, and they need to have that those opportunities as well, because that's where the jobs and capital and wealth, everything comes from there, and it's only fair. It's all about fairness. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is carried.
We will now move to our next item, agenda item 11. Item 11, authorize one, the quit claim of 22 properties acquired by the taxing authorities from the tax foreclosure sheriff's sale that will be sold to the highest qualified bidders, and two, the execution of release of liens for any non-tax liens that may have been filed by the city and were included in the foreclosure judgment. This item was pulled by Councilmember Atkins.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion, Mr. Kleinman.
Motion for approval.
Second.
And a motion is second. Discussion, Mr. Atkins.
Mr. Carson, will you come forward, please? The reason why I pulled this item is number one, when we sell this property on share sale, there is a property that is in District 8. It's on the corner of Simpson Stewart and Lancaster. It was an old motel, and it was sold at a share sale. In the meantime, the person who bought the property is still standing. It cannot be a motel, but we don't know what it might will be. My concern, when we sell property on a share sale, do we track and find out what they're going to do with the property and a timeline? Do they come back? What is the timeline? Will they come back and tell us that we're going to build a motel, we're going to tear it down, we're going to bulldoze it, and this is what we're going to do with it, or what?
Yes, sir. This, and David Costa, Sustainable Development and Construction. This is after the share sale, basically. These
right.
properties have not been sold at the share sale. Then the city becomes trustee of the properties, and our responsibility to the other tax entities is to get these back on the tax roll and reimburse some proportion of those taxes, if possible. In our instance, when we get the bids from the property, from the various applicants, and we will vet those against the list. We will research whether they have outstanding code violations, whether it's outstanding liens, or any other issues the city is aware of, and make that determination. In terms of follow-up on the individual properties, they're continue to be monitored, but they would just go through the standard permitting process in terms of that review. But we, and I'll let Ms. Eubanks explain a little bit more, but when they get title to those, then they're like most other private developers from the city. They have to conform with the underlying zoning in terms of the potential reuse of the property and any other city regulations when they redevelop the property.
Well, I guess my concern is that there was a property in District 8 that was on a share sale. It was a motel, and they bring it up to code, and but we still don't know what would be the, what direction they might go with it.
And let me get the precise location from you, and I can certainly report back where we're at, whether it was sold through as a city process or whether it was sold at the sheriff's sale. Let me get the address, and I'll report back to you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Carraway.
Thank you. And Ms. Cosson, while you are there, and it's not my district, but I'm very familiar with the motel that used to be called the Apollo Motel. And the concern that I have is the same as what Mr. Atkins has. It has been vacant for years. It has been sitting there as an eyesore on that corner, even before we started serving on the Dallas City Council. And I would guess that my concern would be that we find out, have a mechanism in place to where we can know what the intent is of these folks that's buying the property. is not just that particular property on Simpson Stewart at Lancaster. There are throughout the community, throughout the neighborhoods, the slumlords that come in and buy up these properties, and they just hold on to them for years, and they do nothing to them for years. And we are cutting the grass, and we're doing all the things, and they're not taking any care of doing any type of upkeep to these properties. I think that we should begin to just figure out a way to entertain.
Yes, sir.
What can be done, what is their intent, and what is their time frame. And that's something that if it needs further discussion with the Dallas City Council, then that's what we need to know. Because it is unfair to the community for someone with money to go in and tie up a major corner where a bank could have been opened by now, a restaurant, a tax-generating business could be operating just because someone wanted to come in and had some money, and they're going to tie it up for years with no intent to do anything with it. And that's why our communities continue to stay blighted. And we need to do a better assessment or somehow, whatever it takes, I am willing to be supportive of it. But I also want to know when these people, and we've talked about these general merchandise on the corner of H Street at Corinth at the foot of the bridge. There's a store that has no parking, of course. It's right at the corner, and they're getting ready to open, and I don't know what's going there. All day they got some potato chips that you can see through the door, they're going to be doing beer and wine. Same thing is still happening on Lancaster, 2613, next to the Save-A-Lot, general merchandise. I still want to know what's taking place and what the intent on the corner of Lancaster and at Sana. Man has built a big gas station there, but he got another office building or something that they're doing there, and I don't know what that's going to be. As a representative, Mayor, I should know what's going on in my district and what the intent of these people are. And so I want to make sure that we begin to figure out something and have a communication so that we can have some kind of say and some kind of knowledge of what's going on.
I agree with that. I'm going to try to keep us on item 11, though. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Carraway brought up a good point. I'm going to try and stick to it as well. Is there a certain time frame that these individuals can have a CO and just do nothing with these particular locations, these particular properties?
Are we inquiring about the properties that are sold?
Those in these properties similar to what Mr. Carraway talked about. There's a old 7-Eleven that's over and off of University Hills and River Lane, and this guy's just been, nothing's happened with it. So I'm
if the project lies dormant for a certain period of time, typically, you know, three to 6 months, then they could lose their permit at that time. They would be notified. They could come back in and do some work on the property. But, yes, sir, we try to track that and monitor that through the inspection process. If a property that has a permit falls dormant, then they could lose their permit, yes, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Felder.
Yes. Can I get economic development to the microphone, please?
Paul, they're coming up again for the speakers. We've all got issues across our areas. This is stated item 11, best we can.
Good morning.
Good morning, Councilman.
Yes. You and I talked about how we're going to restructure the land bank program. Can you talk about that and how that affects this process, please?
We're actually in the process of going out to our stakeholders. Our intent is to bring you a proposal for the land bank to committee in October. Mm-hmm. and then come back to you, to City Council, for full consideration in November. There is a separate legislation that authorizes the land bank acquisitions, mm-hmm. as opposed to the HB 110 lots that this is referring to.
Right. Okay. So so that's separate from what, okay.
Right.
Now, someone else mentioned about the release of the liens on those type of properties. Can you talk about that, please?
About the process?
Yes.
It is a lengthy process, and we are trying to figure out. There's some things related to the legislation for the land bank mm-hmm. that kind of slows that process down.
Right.
And that relates a little bit to the HB 110s. It's just a matter of the length of time it takes to clear those.
Okay.
And what's authorized, because essentially you're forgiving an existing lien, and so some of those things are allowed and some are not, so we're trying to figure out workarounds for those.
Okay. And so we really can't dictate what the purchaser is going to do with those properties.
I'm sorry. The city attorney said this conversation is not pertaining to item 11. So if you want to tie it back to 11.
Yes, I'm trying to tie it to 11.
Please.
I'm trying to. All right, so I'm just speaking specifically about this particular item. And so with those properties, those, I guess they're struck off, just talk about the parameters, what can and cannot be done on those particular properties.
As it relates to what?
Economic development, you know, use, things like that, because it was referred to the motel that was abandoned and someone purchased it. So I just want to talk about that a little bit.
So on these particular lots, I'd have to defer to David Costham, because it really is a matter of zoning
okay.
that those lots have and what they're able to do on them.
But as far as economic development is concerned, if the purchaser decides he wants to apply for incentives or something like that, that's where I'm going with that.
Any of the projects would be eligible for the suite of incentives, both at economic development and housing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Felder. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We'll now move to our items for individual consideration. Agenda item 13 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions for the 2017-19 term. This morning we have full council, individual, instrumentality, and officer appointments. But before I read the names of those nominees, we do have three speakers who have signed up to speak on the item. Carol Bell Walton, Jacqueline Espinal, and Mark Holmes. Ms. Carol Bell Walton may come forward. Each individual will be given 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the time at the podium. When your time is up, please stop and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. You may begin.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'd like to speak about the Park Board Vice Chair position that's been nominated today. You're asking us in November to approve a $250 million bond package for Dallas Parks. In order for that money to be well spent, we need the best possible leadership on the Park Board. This is a critical position. I attended most of the Park Board meetings regarding Fair Park when it was being given away without an RFP to Walt Heumann. It was clear from the Park Board meetings that many of the reps sought to rush the deal through, disproportionately benefiting Mr. Heumann. Others had thoughtful questions, meaningful input, and the citizens' input interest at heart. One of the gentlemen nominated today had those insightful questions. He addressed critical issues, and he had a will to protect the citizens. And that gentleman's name is Marlon Rawlins. In July 2016, Walt Heumann wrote a memo to then Park Board Chairman Max Wells, instructing him how to conduct a meeting and limit that meeting to 6 items. That story was broken by Brett Shipp on WFAA. Whole provisions and exhibits were missing from the agreement. Nominee Martin Rawlins voted for open discussion. Nominee Rob Stewart voted to limit conversations, though he is an attorney, and entire provisions and exhibits were missing from the contract. It was at that meeting that I discovered nominee Rob Stewart was a partner at the same law firm that represented Walt Heumann. I filed an ethics complaint against Rob Stewart. This is the ethics complaint against Rob Stewart. While it was not upheld, the ethics committee said that his behavior was very iffy, that he should have recused himself earlier, that whenever there is an appearance of impropriety, that appearance should be avoided. And what Mr. Stewart did, just, I guess he didn't know the rules, was he got an oral okay that there was no conflict of interest from Christine Lanners, a city attorney here who doesn't know the rules either. Really, conflict of interest memos are supposed to be written. This one wasn't. That was one reason that the complaint was not upheld, because we don't know what was said in that oral opinion. Anyway, they said that they wished he had gotten a written opinion. They said that Christine Lanners should have known that the opinion needed to be written. In that meeting, I felt hoodwinked by Rob Stewart. I had watched for months all this manipulation, not knowing that he was at the same law firm that was representing Walt Heumann. Now, $250 million bond package, let's have somebody that has openness, transparency, and the citizens' interest at heart. Let's approve Marlon Rollins for vice chair of the park board. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker, Jacqueline Espinal.
Good morning. Transparency and accountability are linchpins of a well-functioning representative government that is by the people, for the people. As a citizen of Dallas, we have entrusted our elected and appointed officials with the fiduciary responsibility of managing our assets and funds. This is a responsibility that should not bear even the slightest perception of impropriety. The ethical behavior or perception of that behavior must be unimpeachable. The Parks Board is responsible for managing our public assets, and those placed in that position of power must be unimpeachable in actions or perceptions. I'm here today to respectfully request that you consider how elevating a Park Board member to the position of vice president whose ethics were questioned would be perceived in terms of public trust. Park Board leadership is responsible for making decisions on hundreds of millions of dollars of citizens' assets. And the expectation of we the people is that those decisions are made without any potential for conflicts of interest. As a Dallas citizen, I would urge you to vote for transparency and accountability. I would urge you to vote for ethical leadership, either by act or perception. Thank you.
Mark Holmes.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, and good morning to the honorable members of this council. My name is Mark Holmes. I reside at 9225 Royal Pine Drive in Dallas in District 10. Thank you for allowing me to address you this morning. I am here this morning to voice my support and hopefully garner yours for Mr. Rob Stewart and his nomination as vice chair of the Parks and Recreation Board. As you know, Rob has already been serving faithfully the citizens of Dallas as a regular member of the Parks and Recreation Board. His service to the city of Dallas has been exemplary, punctuated by his integrity and his character. He has and continues to work hard for the citizens of Dallas, researching and finding out what our neighborhoods need, want, and how the city will address those needs of all our communities in terms of the Parks and Recreation Department. As the immediate past president of the Exchange Club of Lake Highlands, I've had the opportunity to work with Rob in terms of making Flagpole Hill a destination park for all the citizens of Dallas. And I've enjoyed working with him, especially on the projects of an installation of an all-abilities playground at that park, his efforts on behalf of the organizations involved there and coordinating those efforts with the city staff of Dallas have been commendable. Rob is also a neighbor of mine who I've seen countless times at our neighborhood association meetings providing input and guidance to our little corner of Lake Highlands. No issue appears to be too big or small when it comes to Rob's desire to serve this city and all of its residents. In my opinion, Rob will serve as Vice Chair of the Parks and Recreation Board with integrity and distinction, and I encourage this body to approve his nomination as Vice Chair. Thank you for your consideration of these comments, and thank you for your service to the citizens of Dallas.
Thank you.
This item will be separated into two votes. The officer appointments will be separated to allow certain nominees to be duly appointed to the board first before being appointed to an officer position. So for nominees for full council appointment to the Board of Adjustment alternate members, Nicholas Brooks is being nominated by Councilmember Griggs. Laura Lee C. Bartos is being nominated by Councilmember Grayson. To the Cultural Affairs Commission, adjunct members, Cannon Flowers is being nominated by Mayor Rawlings. Mr. Flowers meets the interested citizen special qualification. To the Civil Service Board, Flora M. Hernandez will be nominated by Councilmember Gates. To the Ethics Advisory Commission, Deborah Watkins is being nominated by Councilmember Atkins, and Eileen F. Rosenblum is being nominated by Councilmember Grayson. To the Employees Retirement Fund Board of Trustees, Randy A. Bowman is being nominated by Mayor Rawlings. To the Housing Finance Corporation Board, James Alvin Armstrong III is being nominated by Mayor Rawlings, and Joe L. Carrion is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. To the Reinvestment Zone 3 Board, Oak Cliff Gateway, Alexander and Atoll Kosaro is being nominated by Councilmember Griggs. To the Reinvestment Zone 8 Board, Design District, Ed P. Oakley is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. To the Reinvestment Zone 12 Board, Deep Ellum, Jim Rogers is being nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. To the Reinvestment Zone 15 Board, Fort Worth Avenue, Joseph Ramirez is being nominated by Councilmember Griggs and co-nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. Debbie Solis is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez, and Kyle R. Ward is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez and co-nominated by Councilmember Griggs. To the Reinvestment Zone 16 Board, Davis Garten, Jonathan R. Braddock is being nominated by Councilmember Griggs, and Louis Basolo is being nominated by Councilmember Grayson. To the Reinvestment Zone 20 Board, Mall Area Redevelopment, Amy W. Monier is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. Nominees for individual appointments. To the Animal Advisory Commission, Pat Rodriguez is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. Ms. Rodriguez meets the general public special qualification. And Teresa Gubins is being nominated by Councilmember Griggs. Ms. Gubins also meets the general public special qualification. To the Board of Adjustment, Scott R. Hounsell is being nominated by Councilmember Griggs. Ryan Baring is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Carraway. Robert Mack Schaus is being nominated by Councilmember McHugh. And Sherry Gambo is being nominated by Councilmember Gates. To the Cultural Affairs Commission, Megan Bridgman is being nominated by Councilmember Griggs. Ms. Bridgman meets the Performing Arts Expertise Special Qualification. John P. Baptiste is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Carraway. Mr. Baptiste meets the Cultural Institute Management Special Qualification. Michael G. Valderez is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. Mr. Valderez meets the Professional Visual Artist Special Qualification. And James N. White is being nominated by Councilmember McHugh. Mr. White meets the Performing Arts Expertise Special Qualification. To the Community Development Commission, Candace M. Thompson is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Carraway. And Ann C. Parchman is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. To the City Plan and Zoning Commission, Margot B. Murphy is being nominated by Councilmember Gates. To the Dallas Citizens Police Review Board, Lauren Gilbert Smith is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, and James Gerard Birdsong is being nominated by Councilmember Callahan. To the Judicial Nominating Commission, Nicole L. Williams is being nominated by Councilmember McHugh, and Garen W. Singh is being nominated by Councilmember Grayson. To the Landmark Commission, Rosemary Hinojosa is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez, and Adam McGill is being nominated by Councilmember McHugh. Both nominees meet the historic preservation special qualification. To the Municipal Library Board, Karen Blumenthal is being nominated by Councilmember McHugh, and Kim Kohler is being nominated by Mayor Rawlings. To the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center Board, Jessica Gale Shaw is being nominated by Councilmember Clayton, and Vanessa J. Haywood is being nominated by Councilmember Gates. To the Park and Recreation Board, Harrison L. Blair is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, and Rodney Schlosser is being nominated by Councilmember Grayson. To the Permit and License Appeal Board, Manuel Telez is being nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Raymond E. Fuller is being nominated by Councilmember Callahan. Ricardo Medrano is being nominated by Councilmember Clayton. Charles Chick N. Cowan is being nominated by Councilmember McHugh. To the Senior Affairs Commission, Carmen S. Arana is being nominated by Councilmember Griggs. Geraldine McDaniel is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez. Jerry C. Baker is being nominated by Councilmember McHugh. And Marlene A. Cohen is being nominated by Councilmember Grayson. All nominees meet the 55-plus years of age special qualification. To the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board, DeMarcus L. Offord is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Carraway. Mr. Offord meets the South Dallas Fair Park resident special qualification. Angel Saucedo is being nominated by Councilmember Callahan. Mr. Saucedo meets the business development special qualification. Taquan A. Lewis is being nominated by Councilmember McHugh. Mr. Lewis meets the active and South Dallas Fair Park community special qualification. And Archie D. Nettles is being nominated by Councilmember Grayson. Mr. Nettles meets the active and South Dallas Fair Park community special qualification. To the Youth Commission, Nadia Juliana Villegas is being nominated by Councilmember Griggs. Joseph Mikhail Contreras is being nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Molly M. Martinez is being nominated by Councilmember Callahan. And Micah Rominer is being nominated by Councilmember Kleinman. Nominees for instrumentality appointment, Andrew Quickthall, Pat Priest, and Sophia R. Johnson are being nominated by Mayor Rawlings. Mr. Andrew Quickthall meets the conservationist special qualification. This concludes your appointment.
Thank you. Motion to approve.
I'd like to pull out Sophia Johnson.
Second.
Second.
Thank you.
I'd also like to separate Pat Priest.
Thank you. So we have, let's take each of these up. We've got a motion to approve. You have a motion to do what, Mr. Griggs?
Separate Sophia Johnson.
Sophia Johnson was a nominee on the Trinity River Corridor Local Government Corporation Board.
Do you have a second? Second. Thank you. We will take a record vote on that. This is the vote to Mr. Griggs to separate that item.
Please start voting. 14 all have voted. Voting in favor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Felder, Clayton, Narvaez, Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, and Griggs. Voting no, Councilmembers McHugh, Thomas, Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, Councilmember Gates, Kleinman, Mayor Rawlings, and Councilmember Atkins. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston had a motion.
Move to separate Pat Priest's nomination to the LGC board.
Do you have a second? Okay. We'll take a record vote on that.
Please start voting. 13 have voted. All have voted. Voting in favor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Felder, Clayton, Narvaez, Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, and Griggs. Voting no, Councilmembers McHugh, Thomas, Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, Councilmember Gates, Kleinman, Mayor Rawlings, and Councilmember Atkins. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We'll take all items except those two. Do we have a motion to approve? We have a second. We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. All right, we'll take A motion to approve Sophia Johnson for the Trinity River Corridor Local Government Code. Is there a motion to approve? We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Mr. Kingston.
Mr. Mayor, I think it's inappropriate to put lobbyists on the LGC board. Ms. Johnson has no background in real estate or parks management. So I just don't think that that's a recipe for success for that board. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you. I, too, oppose lobbyists and consultants being placed on this board. Thank you.
Thank you. To respond, since it's my nomination, I think the word lobbyist is broad in this regards. The members of the board asked me to make sure we had a communication person on there, an expert that knew how to communicate in a transparent and clear way to everybody, and I thought Ms. Johnson played that role very good, and I believe she'll be an excellent member on this organization. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and I concur with that, knowing the fact that this is involving the Trinity Corridor, the LGC. I think to the southern portion of Dallas, we need to have someone at the table that's a communicator that can communicate directly as to the goings-on with the Trinity. And I think that Ms. Johnson is one that has been proven to be in that skill of communication is the very reason that I thought it's a great idea for us to be able to have someone that we can communicate with. I don't really communicate with all the folks from the north, but we can communicate with those that we know, and she's one from the southern part of our city, someone that we have a confident in that can communicate and has proven to be able to communicate through our communities, someone that knows our community and the things that our community need to be kept up to breast on and to be educated on as this long-term process moves forward.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I also speak in support of Ms. Johnson. She did an excellent job as related to the RFP for Fair Park. My understanding, she met with every council member, her and her counterpart met with every council member. Was very transparent in terms of the questions and finding out those things that were priorities for us, and not just us, but our park board members as well. And so she has shown to be an effective communicator, and I think she will effectively be able to communicate to the community how much of a benefit this park will be. Thank you, Ms. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you. I guess I have a question for, I don't know if it's the city secretary or city attorney, but is Ms. Johnson registered with the city of Dallas as a lobbyist?
Ms. Johnson.
Let me get that answer for you in a second. I don't believe so, but let me get that answer.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mr. Adkins.
I think we always saying that we want African-American minority on boards and committee, and I think that you got someone who look like us who can communicate with Southern Dallas is going to be on this committee on the Trinity. When we was going around about and I was just driving with Mayor Pro Tem Caraway, we were driving across the Trinity. Dwayne, you remember we were driving across the Trinity. We looked to the left and said, hey, are we going to get any kind of development going south? And hopefully that Mr. Fellows saying that, hey, we need African-American or black on different committees that make a big difference in Trinity. So, therefore, I'm glad that we do have someone of color on this committee. Thank you very much for nominating her, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Caraway.
Yeah, and I'll make this short. I don't know any of us around the horseshoe that knows Reverend Johnson or Reverend Smith or the pastor at Bear Street Baptist Church, any of those folks, but I do know Ms. Johnson knows them, and they are the ones that we need to have communicating in our community those that know someone that know where to go and someone that knows the people that can communicate with our community. Now, I'm hearing us talk of not nominating these next two individuals. So I'm speaking only at this time, Mr. Johnson. But now, has there been an alternative? Do we just say no to someone that we, the African Americans, support because of whatever the reasons are? Personal, I assume. But now I do agree with it. If it is a conflict, then I know at some point that I must yield and have no problem with yielding. But then there are so many people. Let's just start going down the list of all these people to the reinvestment boards, and let's look and see where they are. I don't know all these people. I don't know all their backgrounds. I don't know what all they're involved in, and I don't know where all their investments are in. But now we've got them on here, and because of you all nominating them, then we turn and we agree. If we're going to begin to do a microscopic look at everything and everybody, then let's just take our time and let's just start going back through. Let me start trying to rescind my vote for everything we just voted on, and let me take a look at all these people that's on these reinvestment boards and let's look at their background and see what they might be in and who they might be connected with. I think it's personal at times when we decide to look at someone because we might know who they are. It's mighty ironic that we would just subsequently want to pull out Sophia Johnson of all people. We know Sophia. We know who she's married to. At the end of the day, it seems like it becomes personal every time we decide to have someone trying to move things forward on behalf of the minority, and I hate to use it, but the minority aspect of our community, and then they're always pulled out in question. Let me start looking at these things. Norm, are you listening to me? Bring me my big magnifying glass out of the office. Bring it up here now, so I can start really taking a closer look at the things that are really happening here. You know, it's an insult at times, and I'm not going to go off completely, but it is an insult at times, the fact that when we are trying to pull up African-Americans, and we just talked about African-American and African-American participation, but when it's time to elevate an African-American, there seems to always become a question or some concern or some kind of deep-rooted review of the background and history. That's the same thing that we talk about when we talk about ex-offenders, where they can't get jobs because they've been incarcerated and they're handcuffed and can't go and feed their families because of the fact that they've had some level of background. Certainly, all of these folks that we are sitting here nominating every week, I want to do an in-depth review of what they're involved in. What kind of business do they have? What type of opportunities are they quietly invested in that we may not be quaintly aware of? You know, I think this personal stuff around this horseshoe and want to needle people and just to be starting some stuff, we're not taking care of the city's business. And it's kind of insulting to me as an African-American that every time that we're trying to get something, we got to get on our knees and beg. And then this front and fraud stuff that's going on around here, just as you guys talked about campaigning in the office. Had I known there was a video of a council member campaigning in the office, I would have bought that
up. Mr. Caraway.
Mr. Caraway is going to talk about everything that affects the African-American community that's not relevant around this horseshoe. Now y'all need to cut this out. And I'm speaking of cutting it out.
Thank you. Ms. Johnson, do you have an answer to Mr. Kleinman's question?
Yes, Councilmember Kleinman, to answer your question, Sophia Johnson is not a registered lobbyist with the City of Dallas.
Mr. Kleinman.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Johnson, Villaray. I do think it's really unconscionable to try to label somebody in a way that would be derogatory when – it's just not a fact.
Thank you. Mr. Kerwood.
Let's not bring falsehoods to this horseshoe unchecked out, because once you label somebody, then they're labeled forever. Check out your information before you say that she's a lobbyist and you're going to pull it because she's a lobbyist, and then we find that she's not. The negative has already gone out there. It is our responsibility to be efficient when we put these false rumors out here that demeans people and their character. And I don't want it to keep happening again.
Thank you. I just want to add one point. I appreciate the African-American point of view on this. But Ms. Priest and Ms. Johnson were appointed for their caliber of work and what they've done for the city for decades. And they are women. And why we are picking on the females of this is just boggles my mind. With that, we'll take a record vote for Ms. Johnson.
Please start voting. 12 have voted. All have voted. Voting in favor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers McHugh, Thomas, Mayor Pro Tem Carraway, Councilmembers Gates, Felder, Kleinman, Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Councilmember Navaez, Councilmembers Callahan, Grayson, and Atkins. Voting no, Councilmembers Kingston and Griggs. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have a motion for Ms. Priest. A motion and second. Discussion. Mr. Kingston.
Mr. Mayor, I separated Ms. Priest's nomination because she, like multiple other members of the LGC board that you have appointed, was a vocal advocate for the Trinity Toll Road for 20 years. So to vote against the Trinity Toll Road and claim that it's a new day, and then stock the LGC with these former proponents of the most divisive and stupid infrastructure proposal in the history of Dallas is bizarre. Ms. Priest is a fine person, but what she has is a demonstrated opinion of the Trinity that is at odds with the current public policy of Dallas. And to insinuate that talking about the merits of her public positions on a matter of public debate is somehow fueled by sexism is grossly offensive, sir. That is the worst form of rhetorical malfeasance. Insulting ascribing ill motive to your colleague when I'm just trying to talk about her public positions on this specific issue, the most relevant thing that can possibly be discussed. It's really weird and just horribly insulting. I just have no idea what you're thinking. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, Mayor, that makes me want to vote for them twice if they were for the Trinity Parkway. Remember, we all were going to vote for it before we were going to vote against it. For most of my tenure, we had probably 11 votes in favor of that parkway, and so I certainly wouldn't hold that against them at all. And the reason I think a lot of people voted no is not because they thought it was a bad idea. I think because of the fact that nobody was going to build it and we didn't have the money. So let's get our facts straight. But I'm going to be gleefully supporting these two ladies. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, let me be very clear about Ms. Priest's nomination. She is there because she knows how to get things done. She was early on in the around the table designing one of the most important projects for the city, the Clyde Warren Park, and she knew how to get that off the ground, so she has experience there. She has experience with the construction world and can make sure she oversees and knows the quality there. Lastly, she's a good manager. Her resume is significant. I don't even know what her point of view was, and there's no proof today that she is would be affected. Her judgment in the past is not clear on the issue of the road, and to say that that would impact overseeing this project from a park standpoint, when it's very clear that this is a park project and not a road project, to me is something that is confusing to me as well. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I've just got to respond to Mr. Callahan. I'm sorry, Rick, but I was against the road because I thought it was a really bad idea.
May I just
thank you.
Just want to respond,
Mr. Callahan, quickly.
I just want to say I mentioned that 11 people were for it at one point. I didn't say that everybody was for it.
Thank you. Okay, record vote.
Please start voting. 11 have voted. All have voted. Voting in favor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers McHugh, Thomas, Mayor Pro Tem Caraway, Councilmembers Gates, Felder, Kleinman, Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Councilmembers Narvaez, Callahan, Grayson, and Atkins. Voting no, Councilmembers Kingston and Griggs. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item. Not the next item, but the next part of this.
Thank you. We'll take up our officer appointments. We have chair and vice chair appointments. Mayor Rawlings has nominated the following individuals to chair appointment. John P. Baptiste is being nominated chair of the Cultural Affairs Commission. Michael J. Barrett is being nominated chair of the Reinvestment Zone 4, Cedars Area, TIF Board. Larry M. James is being nominated chair of the Reinvestment Zone 5, TIF Board, City Center. George J. Robinson is being nominated chair of the Reinvestment Zone 6, TIF Board, Farmers Market. Ed P. Oakley is being nominated chair of the Reinvestment Zone 8, TIF Board, Design District. Robert L. Prejean is being nominated chair of the Reinvestment Zone 10, TIF Board, Southwestern Medical. Evan L. Beatty is being nominated chair of the Reinvestment Zone 11, TIF Board, Downtown Connection. Jonathan Hetzel is being nominated chair of the Reinvestment Zone 12, TIF Board, Deep Ellum. Jonathan R. Braddock is being nominated chair of the Reinvestment Zone 16, TIF Board, Davis Garden. Neil D. Sleeper is being nominated chair of the Reinvestment Zone 17, TIF Board, Transit Oriented Development. Robert L. Prejean is also being nominated chair of the Reinvestment Zone 18, TIF Board, Maple Mockingbird. Shaquan A. Lewis is being nominated chair of the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board. And Mary E. Orsak is being nominated chair of the Youth Commission. Peter A. Schulte is being nominated vice chair of the Board of Adjustment, Panel A, by Mayor Rawlings. Scott R. Hansel is being nominated vice chair of the Board of Adjustment, Panel B, by Mayor Rawlings. Matt L. Houston is being nominated vice chair of the City Plan and Zoning Commission by Councilmember Thomas. Kim Kohler is being nominated vice chair of the Municipal Library Board by Mayor Rawlings. And Rob P. Stewart is being nominated vice chair of the Park and Recreation Board by Councilmember McHugh.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Have a second. There was a second. Thank you. Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
Move to separate Mr. Stewart.
Second. We've got a motion and second to separate Mr. Stewart. We'll go to a record vote.
Please start voting. 15, all have voted. Voting in favor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Felder, Clayton, Narvaez, Kingston, and Griggs. Voting no, Councilmembers McHugh, Thomas, Mayor Pro Tem Caraway, Councilmembers Gates, Kleinman, Mayor Rawlings, Councilmembers Callahan, Grayson, and Atkins. The motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We'll take up the original motion. We'll take that. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a record vote.
Start voting. 13 have voted. 14 have voted. 14 have voted. All have voted. Voting in favor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers McHugh, Thomas, Mayor Pro Tem Caraway, Councilmembers Gates, Felder, Kleinman, Clayton, Mayor Rawlings, Councilmembers Narvaez, Callahan, Grayson, Griggs, and Atkins. Voting no, Councilmember Kingston. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Lastly, we need a ballot vote for the,
oh, yeah,
for the Cultural Affairs Commission adjunct members, position 17, as there were two nominees submitted for the position. Jesse Hornbuckle is being nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Carraway. Mr. Hornbuckle meets the visual arts special qualifications, and Paul D. Rich is being nominated by Councilmember Grayson. Mr. Rich meets the interested citizen special qualification. City staff is distributing ballots now. Please vote for one of the nominees, after which votes will be tallied, and the results will be read later in the meeting.
Okay. So we'll do the votes, turn in, then we'll pick up the... All right, let's take up the next item.
Thank you. We'll move to item 14. Agenda item 14, authorize an amendment to the water supply contract and conveyance between the city and the Sabine River Authority for raw water from Lake Fork Reservoir, and authorize settlement of the litigation styled 1, petition of the City of Dallas for a review of decision by the Sabine River Authority to set water rates, and all related appeals. 2, City of Dallas v. Sabine River Authority and all related appeals. And 3, City of Dallas v. Kerry Mack Abney et al. V. Sabine River Authority and all related appeals.
Yeah, I'll entertain a motion. Motion and a second. Thank you. Any discussion? Ms. Gates.
I thought we were going to be briefed in executive session about this, but we're not.
We were.
We were, but mm-hmm. We're not going to now?
No, we were briefed.
Right. So this is a settlement for that, okay?
This was what we were briefed
about. What we were
about.
Briefed on this, on the settlement. I had a question about, I don't know if it's...
Mr. Casto is right there.
All right. I know you sent us a memo about this, but so this is settling, and it's settling for less than what's in the escrow account. Is that correct? I mean, we're getting money back. We're getting some of that escrow money back.
Yes. I mean, it's a complicated formula, but the court had ordered about $2 million a month, $24 million a year to be put into escrow. The rate that this is being settled at is about a third of what you are putting in. Currently, so now the money in escrow is ours, but it is being credited and basically loaned to pay to the SRA, and so that money is going to be used, one, to pay the rate that is in dispute or that we agreed to over the last 2 years, and then going forward, it's going to be credited to our account, so you won't be paying anything basically to the SRA. The money in escrow is going to be used to pay the SRA. And then y'all will have a decision to make and the city manager about, you know, water rates going forward, because your current water rates are based upon what that escrow
amount is.
And this settlement is significantly less than what.
Okay, so that decision on how we would how it impacts rate is going to come later. That's where I had more questions on. So this is just settling it, and then we will have to decide on how, like, reimburse, you know, how we make justifying the rate changes
yes,
that were made.
This does
okay,
not mean
that's
the way
that's where I have. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you. I have a question about the returning the allocation of water back to SRA for, was it like 131 acre feet?
11,868 feet.
So if we return that water, why are we still going to pay 76% of the maintenance?
We are not.
Okay.
No. Under the previous contract, we had 74% of the ownership, so we paid 74% of the operating fees. I don't have the number right in front of me, but because of that 11,000 that we no longer really have beneficial use of, mm-hmm. that we gave back to, SRA, that our fees going forward are reduced. I think it's 68% or 63%. So going forward, instead of 74% of the fees and operating costs of Lake Fork, it's going to be 63% because it's now a different proportion.
Okay, and maybe we can get some commentary from Terry with regards to my concern that we really don't need that water.
Good morning. Terry Lowry, Interim Director of Dallas Water Utility. Councilmember Kleinman, that 11,860-acre feet is water that we are not permitted to take out of the Sabine River Basin.
Not out of the basin.
So we can't bring it into the Trinity Basin.
But we can sell it within the basin.
It was part of a contract we had with Luminant, and when Energy Future Holdings vacated their contract and filed bankruptcy, that we no longer had a buyer for that. It's not in our service area, so it really is not a beneficial use to us.
And did we, when they filed that bankruptcy, did we have any claims against that contract?
Yes, sir, we did.
So that's a whole other legal issue. Okay, I mean, my concerns, and there are no other potential customers for that water that you see, because, I mean, I think from my reading, an acre foot can serve a family of four for about a year. So you're talking about 11,000 acre feet, you know?
We don't have customers in the basin.
No potential customers in the basin.
No, sir.
And will we be competing with SRA for similar customers?
They do have, and North Texas Municipal Water District has customers in it.
And does SRA have any rights to move water out of the Sabine Basin?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, so we're the only ones that have that right.
And North Texas Municipal Water District, but they do have that part of their service area is in the Sabine Basin.
And they would not be a potential customer for this 11,000 acre feet?
No.
North Texas?
No, okay. It would have to go through SRA.
All right, I just don't want to give it up too easily. That's all. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. I do want to say, Mr. Casto, while you're up there, thank you. Okay. This is a major win for the city of Dallas, for all of North Texas. This guarantees us having water at a reasonable price for decades and decades to come. It is a small item on a little agenda that we get through, but the amount of work that's been done by you and your predecessors on this issue, you got to kind of take the ball in and score the touchdown. But I just want to say for you and your staff, it really means a lot to the citizens of Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
The next item is agenda item 15. Item 15, authorize a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement pursuant to the Public-Private Partnership Program with TVM Productions, Inc. to promote local economic development, stimulate business and commercial activity with the added benefit of promoting Dallas in the media through the production of 13 episodes of the third season of USA Network's television series Queen of the South, not to exceed $200,000.
Thank you. Do we have a
so move?
We got a motion. Second discussion, Mr. Kleinman, I think, is a watcher of the show.
Yep. I do not understand why we're giving away money to a corporation that's making millions out of being here in Dallas. I understand, I do understand sometimes why we initially attract a company to be here, but this is the third time they've come to the well. I'm really going to continue doing it. And I wonder if I can get someone from Economic Development here to explain to me who is on the Film Commission, and how are they appointed, and what is the public process for identifying who's on the Film Commission?
Good morning. Robin Bentley, Interim Director of Economic Development. There used to be a regional film commission which had appointees from the participating cities. That dissolved, and the DCVB took over the film commission. In 2009, it moved to the city. There is no official commission. The name just stuck. It's sort of an industry term. But there is no commission. There's just staff that runs this effort.
So we have a film commission that's just staff-run. Is there any other board or commission in the city of Dallas that is just staff-run?
Not that I'm aware of, but like I said, most cities have a film commission. It's just an industry term where that's what studios know to look for in a city. Those are the folks who know.
So this is not a pop. This is not, I mean, like our typical commissions, boards, commissions, we have citizens involved. They look at whether there's value to the city. They advise the council as to whether to make these decisions. But in this case, it's just staff driven.
Correct.
And what is the, if there's economic benefit to this, I mean, why would not the DCVB be handling this if it's getting heads in beds and restaurants and all those things? Why do they abandon it?
So indirectly they are. The DCVB pays $100,000 to the city of Dallas to help run the film commission, and so indirectly they do support our efforts. Like I said, they used to run this effort. When it came to the city, they financially still support it.
And how much is this item for?
This is for $200,000.
So they're not, I mean, they're not, we are doing the 1.5-time match what DCVB does. Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, I just can't see, maybe other council members can advocate for why we want to display the city of Dallas as a haven for drug dealers on national TV, but I can't see doing it.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins, excuse me.
Robin, in the past, when we, for the film commission, when we do films here on Southside Lamar, you know, back there in the days with Dallas, we do receive money on occasion from the state, right? I remember Governor Perry wrote got a check. And how much money do you recall what he wrote to the city? To the film commission?
I'm not aware that the state funds the city. I'm looking at my film commissioner. She's saying no. But the state does incentivize the shows that film here. And I can go into the economic benefit.
The economic benefit, hotel stays, jobs, right?
Right. So the show, the last season, had $21 million in local spending. But more importantly, these major shows like Dallas and The Good Guys and Queen of the South anchor the film industry in the city so that the cast and crews and all of the folks who work in this industry have steady employment for about 6 months out of the year because the industry spends more than $100 million locally in Dallas.
So, question, do we keep data on this particular show that what was the economic impact to the state of Dallas?
We keep some data. They self-report some data. The state does an extensive audit of every show that they support, and we get copies of those audits from the state. So, yes, we do have data on the spending of the show.
Do you know what was the economic impact on the show last series to the city of Dallas?
Season 2, this show spent $21 million in the city of Dallas.
How many hotel stays?
2,000 room nights.
Thank you.
Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I will be in support of this, not because of the, I guess, graphic material, but you know, I guess we could look introspectively in terms of Dallas itself. You know, it wasn't probably the most wholesome family show, but it was pretty good, you know, and I like it. And I want to support it because it's in Mr. Medrano's district, and I think we need to do that. I think we need to support something there. I would like to see the operation or the creation, rather, of a commission so we can have citizens get involved, the arts community get involved. And I'd like to intensify our efforts to recruit more shows, not just one, but more. And I would like Dallas to become a haven for film and commercials and television shows and be more like Hollywood. You know, just like the ZZ Top song, you know, Dallas, Texas, Hollywood. So I think we can do that. You know, we always talk about Texas as the third coast, but I would like to see Dallas as really one of the kind of the signature areas where we do more of this, and then we can really drive some economic development. So that's what I'm all about. Thanks.
Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And Councilman Atkins hit it on the head, so I don't have to repeat those things as related to the $200,000. And I can appreciate my colleague, Mr. Kleinman, for his concern, so I do that. But then it outweighs the investment that the city of Dallas are putting into it. These folks are coming to Dallas. These folks are spending some money. They got heads in beds. They got their feet under the table at the restaurants. They're doing some shopping.
They are spending money, plus we, the city of Dallas, are getting exposure from that. So I want to applaud that, and I want to concur and say that we need to do more. So let's stay open, let's stay open-minded, and let's stay open-armed and welcome more. Whether they're in Deputy Mayor Madrona's district or somewhere else, let's make sure that we get them here in Dallas, and let's do more.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is this if we pass this Chapter 380 grant, is this in line with state law and city policy concerning the use of Chapter 380 funds?
Yes, I believe so.
And what is the source of Chapter 380 funding?
This would be pilot funding.
Where does Chapter 380 money come from?
In our department, it's funded through the water department's pilot funding, which is mm-hmm. a portion of it given to the Economic Development Department for this type of project.
I'm going to support this because I think it is in line with our current policy, but I think that Mr. Kleinman's concerns are valid, and it highlights that we are significantly overdue in reexamining our economic development policy. Is there a timeline in place for when we're going to begin to examine how we spend our people's water bills?
So, yes, we are looking at all of the policies right now. TIF is the first one we brought to the committee. We're examining that now and hope to come back in coordination with the MBA study and the data that shows to bring a new TIF policy to the committee and then to the council. And all of the policies will be reviewed to be rewritten in a more transparent and clear way.
Can you send me some calendar reminders on that just so that I'm aware of when those things are coming?
Sure.
Colleagues, I think that what we need to, it seems that for many, many years, what we've done is spend all of our housing money in southern Dallas and all of our economic development money in wealthier parts of town. And it seems to me that has exacerbated our problems. So we need to get together around a policy. Right now, staff is doing what we told them to do or what our predecessors told them to do. And if we don't like the outcome, then we need to reexamine the rules. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Madrona.
All right, thank you. Since my name was mentioned, I guess I had to say something. I actually like the show and watch the show. And I've run into a lot of the actors and the people who work on the show, and they actually rent space in Deep Ellum and Cedars and Farmers Market. They're eating at the restaurants. I've met a lot of them at the bar while I'm drinking my Diet Coke. it's true. I don't drink alcohol, but I'm out there supporting my district, and I've met many of these folks, and I know that they've filmed in local businesses and other things like that. So, yeah, I think it's great, and I'll definitely be supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Mr. Kleinman. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I move to the next item, the ballot results are back from the Board and Commission nominees' ballot vote. As a result of the ballot vote, Jesse Hornbuckle is being appointed by acclamation to the Cultural Affairs Commission adjunct members. We'll now move to agenda item 16. Item 16 is a resolution to transfer oversight responsibility for the city's open records request, ORR, function from the city manager to the city secretary, with final design and implementation of a newly centralized ORR center to be coordinated with the appointment of the new city secretary.
Yeah, motion and second. Any discussion? Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I just had a question with regard to the acclamation vote. I don't understand.
We don't need a motion and a second to accept the appointment. It's just the ballot vote is the appointment.
Because the majority of those people voted?
That's correct. 11 out of
okay.
The four.
That's all I need to know.
Thank you.
Mr. Kingston, on this item.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Broadnax, thank you very much for putting this together. I think this is going to significantly improve the job of city secretary and allow us to be much more aggressive in finding someone really talented to fill that role. And I just appreciate you being open to making that structural change. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 17, an ordinance granting a private license to RPB Adolphus LLC for the use of approximately 109 square feet of land to maintain and utilize a sidewalk cafe on a portion of Commerce Street right-of-way near its intersection with Field Street.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 18, an ordinance abandoning a portion of an alley easement and a utility and access easement to Inwood National Bank of Dallas containing a total of approximately 7,446 square feet of land located near the intersection of Inwood Road and Newmore Avenue and authorizing the quitclaim and providing for the dedication of a total of approximately 16,388 square feet of land needed for street rights of way and water easement.
Thank you, Ms. Medrano.
Move for approval.
Thank you. Motion second. Any discussion?
No, I was just going to say thank y'all for giving me a few more weeks. I was able to take care of it. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, this concludes your morning agenda.
Thank you. We will, Council, we're going to move right immediately. In 5 minutes, start meeting in the back. Ms. Kerwood, do you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to just make a point of personal privilege and say last evening we went to the state fair, and the Dallas Youth Council, in conjunction with the Youth Commission, we had 302 children that wore us out last night at the state fair, and it was a great success.
Thank you. So 5 minutes, 11:36, let's be back there, and it is 11:36 a.m. on October 11th, 2017. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda: the Inclusive Communities Projects, Inc., v. Governor Greg Abbott et al. Thank you.
The 13th.
Thank you. Do we have a second? Motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Atkins would like to be recognized on agenda item 27.
Mr. Atkins.
Yeah, I'll move to defer the zoning change to December 13th, 2017.
A motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you.
We'll now move to your zoning consent docket. Your zoning consent docket consists of agenda items 19, 20, and 21. I'll read those items into the record. Item 19 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development subdistrict for O-2 office subdistrict uses on property on the west corner of Cedar Springs Road and Turtle Creek Boulevard. Agenda item 20, a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of and an amendment to specific use permit number 2211 for an alcoholic beverage establishment limited to a bar, lounge, or tavern and a commercial amusement inside limited to a live music venue on property on the southeast corner of Commerce Street and Murray Street. Agenda item 21 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MF-2A multifamily district on property on the north line of Kimsey Drive and northeast of Maple Avenue. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC's recommendation on any of the consent zoning items that were read into the record? Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Second. A motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We'll move now to agenda item 22. Item 22 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a plan development.
Mr. Griggs isn't here. Why don't we go to, well, Mr. Medrano is not here. Why don't we go to item 25. Mr. Kingston is.
Okay, thank you. We'll move to agenda item 25. Item 25 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1903 for a late hours establishment limited to a restaurant without drive-in or drive-through service on property on the north line of Alta Avenue, west of Greenville Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 18 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 6 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC's recommendation? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the recommendation of CPC for a one-year SUP.
Thank you. Do we have a second? A motion and a second. Any discussion?
Just wanted to let you all know these are really good operators. Samir Patel is the managing partner. I spoke with him last evening, and he had to travel for work today. Otherwise, he would have been here. But I actually ate here last night and encourage you all to do the same. It's a good place called Feed down off of Lower Greenville.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We'll move to agenda item 26. Agenda item 26 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CR community retail district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the northeast corner of North Prairie Creek Road and Sying Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 31 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request. We received 8 replies in favor and 2 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC's recommendation? Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor? We have one speaker coming forward.
Thank you.
You will be given 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When your time is up, please stop. And please state your name and address for the record.
Okay. My name is Kent Carter. My address is 8344 East R.L. Thornton, Suite 402, Dallas 75228. Good afternoon. My name is Kent Carter. My father and I own the property that is in front of you today for the proposed rezoning. This journey for us started over a year ago, way before we even started the legal process. Before we filled out the application to start the process, we went to the neighbors in the surrounding area to get their thoughts and inputs of what we were wanting to do. We knew that if we did not have the support of the neighbors in trying to rezone the property, that it would be an uphill battle. After visiting with many of the neighbors and listening to their concerns, we sat down and came up with many deed restrictions, including access points and barriers between the community and the proposed rezoning. After doing this, we then went to the Planning and Zoning Committee and worked with them to come up with a site plan that they would be approved. In doing that, we wanted to make sure that everybody had a say and that everybody would be happy for the most part. Me and my father own several properties in the near area, so we want to make sure whatever is done with this property is very beneficial for the community and the surrounding areas. Our goal from day one was to bring business into this area that would be beneficial, and with the approval of this today, it would help us be one step closer to achieving our goal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in the audience that would like to speak in favor of the CPC's recommendation? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Felder.
Yes, I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
I second it.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 27 was previously deferred. Agenda item 28 is a public hearing and a specific use permit for a tower antenna for cellular communication on property zone ACC Community Commercial Subdistrict within Planned Development District Number 595, the South Dallas Fair Park Special Purpose District on the northwest line of Pennsylvania Avenue, southwest of J.B. Jackson Jr. Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 56 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received no replies in favor and one in opposition, and due to denial at City Plan Commission, this will require a three-quarter vote to approve.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC's recommendation of denial? We have one speaker coming forward. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon. Suzanne Kedron, 2323 Ross. Just wanted to get that site plan up there for your consideration. I came aboard after Planning Commission on this particular request, and just wanted to clarify a couple things. The property owner that was abutting the site that was in opposition is currently now in support, and we do have an affidavit in support that we turned in on that. And it was also suggested that we go ahead and install the landscaping prior to today, your consideration today. That's been done. On the attached site plan that you see before you, we're going to seek your approval of that alternate site plan. It shows the installed landscaping, and there was also a note that had a conflict on the labels regarding the fencing materials, and there is a chain link fence that is installed, and that's now noted on that site plan. So what I'm seeking is approval of the staff report, not the CPC recommendation, and of this alternate site plan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC's recommendation of denial? Any speakers in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Felder.
I move to close the public hearing and approve the SUP as requested by the applicant with the ordinance to come back with a revised site plan on a future council agenda.
The motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, Mr. Kleiman.
Yeah, I just wonder if staff could speak to why CPC recommended denial.
This was a case where the SUP had expired about 10 years ago, and the property owner, the tower owner, just purchased the property, and they didn't realize that the SUP had expired. Once they went through their due diligence and realized that they came in for an application, one of the issues that staff had suggested was maybe making it more pleasing as you drove by the street, adding some landscaping. At Plan Commission, they did not want to do that. And so Plan Commission just said that they would really like to have seen the landscaping and also were a little concerned that it had been 10 years expired and they didn't know about it.
So it's been operating without an SUP for 10 years?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We will now move back to agenda item 22. Agenda item 22 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for R-7.5A single-family district and multifamily uses on property on the southwest corner of West 10th Street and South Brighton Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 112 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 5 replies in favor and 5 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC's recommendation? Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Entertain a motion, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and to hold this case over until Wednesday, October 25th.
The motion is second. Any discussion?
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very supportive of this project. Applicant this morning turned in a revised site plan, which I have not had a chance to review yet, and staff hasn't either. So the two-week delay is for us to review the revised site plan. But this is a great project. It's an adaptive reuse of an old church located in Oak Cliff. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 23 is a public hearing and one, an ordinance granting an amendment to Tract 1A within Planned Development District Number 486 on the southwest corner of Perry Avenue and Bank Street, and two, an ordinance granting an amendment to and an expansion of Tract 1B on property on the northeast corner of Gurley Avenue and Bank Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 180 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 27 replies in favor and 14 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC's recommendation? Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor? No, we do have a speaker coming forward. You'll be given 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Sure. My name is Ben Leal, 1614 Jensen Court, Dallas, Texas, 75204. I'm the CEO at Jubilee Park and Community Center, and we're thankful for a partnership that we have with the City of Dallas, and on behalf of the 100-plus ladies that come every day to use Zumba at our center and the 11,000 visitors we have in our park every month. We are appreciative for the support of this zoning change, so thank you.
Are there any other speakers in the audience that would like to speak in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Medrano.
Mayor, thank you. I move to approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Plan Commission.
A motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We will now move to agenda item 29. Agenda item 29 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a TH-3A townhouse district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the west line of Leanne Drive, north of West Wheatland Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 40 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area of request. We received one reply in favor and two in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC's recommendation? Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor? We have a speaker coming forward. No, we don't. No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, I move to not follow the recommendation of the City Plan Commission denying the application without prejudice. Yes. Right.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Mayor, the application came in and spoke to the community, and the community have not came up with a satisfying conclusion for the community. So give the applicant another opportunity to go back to the community.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
In an effort to keep all the zoning items together, we will move to addendum item one. Addendum item one is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development subdistrict for MF-2 multiple family subdistrict and private school uses on property zoned in MF-2 multiple family subdistrict within planned development district number 193, the Oaklawn Special Purpose District, on the southwest corner of Cole Avenue and Oliver Street, on both sides of the alley on the southwest side of Oliver Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 347 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 32 replies in favor and 6 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC's recommendation? Are there any? We do have a speaker coming forward. Are there any speakers in favor? We have a speaker. Dallas.
Just trying to move things along. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, this is a very small faith-based school, private school, that started out as a homeschool cooperative. It received unanimous approval of the Oakland Committee and the City Plan Commission. We have a fairly large contingent of kids, neighbors. They're here if you need comments from some of the neighbors. But we've limited this to 10 classrooms. It is a, when I say very small school with about 60 children. So if you have any questions, happy to answer. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move to close the public hearing and follow the recommendation of CPC.
Second. Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Mr. Kingston.
Y'all, thanks for coming down. Nice hats.
Can someone just tell me the purpose of the hats? Okay, good. We do. Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion's carried. Thank you.
We'll now move to agenda item 30. Agenda item 30 is a public hearing to receive comments on the proposed use of a portion of the Kleberg Trail totaling approximately 126,625 square feet of land by Dallas Water Utilities for the construction of a 21-inch wastewater main and a 120-inch water transmission pipeline. And at the close of the public hearing, consideration of a resolution authorizing the proposed use of parkland pursuant to Chapter 26 of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Code. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins.
I move to approve item number 30.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? Excuse me, Mr. Kleinman does. Mr. Kleinman?
I guess I would like staff to address, is the trail going to be itself going to be disturbed or replaced, or just prior to the trail being installed? What's kind of the status of all that?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear your question.
What's the status of the Kleberg Trail with relation to this project? Is it going to be disturbing the trail? Is the trail installed, not installed? What's the...
This portion of the trail is not funded.
Okay.
This is the portion in District 5 of that trail is funded in the 2017 bond program, but this portion in District 8 does not have funding.
How many linear feet is this section?
I don't know the number of feet. We can get that for you.
And is DWU putting a cap on it? They're going to put this piece of trail. Is DWU going to put in this piece of trail when they disturb this area?
I'm sorry, couldn't hear.
Is DWU going to build this portion of trail when they do this work?
No, they're not building the trail. They're only putting in their utilities.
Right, and then why are they not going to cap it with a trail?
They're paying us the cost of the land for the easement for the utilities, but they're not funding the trail itself.
All right. Well, you know, it's been a good opportunity to leverage that department to get some trail put in. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, just as a follow-up, is there a way the money that we're getting, could that those monies be folded into completion of that section of the trail, the money that we're getting for
it? Did you say policing? I'm sorry.
The money that we're getting for the land, is there a way to fold those funds into to getting the trail completed?
We can hold those funds. It wouldn't be nearly enough for the trail. I think the estimate for that portion of the trail is about $8 million.
So, and this represents, again, how much money? How much money, again, are we getting for the land? 126,625 square feet. I don't know what they says no cost consideration, but
was
there?
$85,900 is the fair market value for the easements.
So it's negligible. Okay. All right.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
This concludes our afternoon agenda. We will now take up our afternoon microphone speakers. We did have one cancellation. Let me go ahead and call the first five speakers. Sandra Perkins, William Maddox, Linda Newland, Jermaine Samuel, Celeste Scott. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council, shall be removed from the room. Individuals are given 3 minutes. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When your time is up, please stop and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. If you have any handouts, please go ahead and hand it to the officer to your right, as it will affect your speaking time. Your first speaker, Sandra Perkins. Ms. Perkins will be followed by William Maddox, Linda Newland, Jermaine Samuel, Celeste Scott, Carmen Johnson, William Woods.
Good afternoon to the councilman and to the citizens of Dallas, Texas. I have two concerns this morning. After waiting 3 years to try to get a pay, the SSI puts the money on these cards now. But when you have a problem, you go to the Social Security office, you cannot get a response. They tell you to call. You have three different numbers to call. I've been calling all these times. I started getting my money in February, and I have not been able to get it straight. My son is on SSI. He's a paraplegic. He's been on Social Security since he was carjacked. They switched his money to one of these cards, and he has not received his check today. And I've been questioning Social Security. I went to the bank. It has Core America on it, but they say they don't have anything to do with it, that it's with the feds. I cannot get in touch with the feds. They took money out of my checks for 4 months, and I did not know what it was. My second concern is myself. I don't know how you guys do this. I don't understand. And I'm coming here again. I've been down here once before. I'm a good person, and I know I am. Somebody walked me off my job for this position, whatever it is. The last time I was here, you had an associate talk to me, and he told me I no longer worked for the city of Dallas, which I have not filled out an application to be with anything. I have been a custodian at the United States Postal Service for over 25 years. I can't get any answers. I can't get my driving license. I can't get a home. They're making me stay with my mom, and we're too much alike. Well, I'm more cleaner than she is, and she don't like that. She's a clutter. And it's a problem. There's nothing wrong with me here. I have seen 25-plus psychiatrists for whoever is going on with this. I've also asked who's responsible so that I could talk directly to them, and nobody wants to talk to me. I've asked doctors. I've asked police officers. I asked Mayor Rawlins. I asked churches, and I can't get an answer. I am alive. I am not dead. My name is Sandra Perkins, and I live in Oak Cliff. And I'm not afraid of whatever is supposed to be going on. All I want is some answers. I want to know what was done to me so that I would know how to take care of myself. I am a very responsible person. And if you're going to let me live, let me live. If you're going to kill me, kill me. Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Williams Madoff.
Mayor and Councilman, my name is William Maddox. I live at 5901 Steel Forest, Dallas, Texas, 75252. I was born and raised in Dallas, Texas, in Oak Cliff. I went to Harold Budd, Ballastory, and graduated from Addison High School. I remember about in the 50s and 60s when they said Central Expressway would take, when they built it out to Lover's Lane, Northwest Highway would last until the turn of the century. It did not. The city council meeting a couple months ago, when I was there, was very disappointed when the Dallas Council voted to terminate the tollway in the Trinity River. The Dallas voted twice for the tollway. The city council took it up on themselves to stop it and did not let the citizens re-vote again. Do you all think about the Dallas citizens living southwest of the river, having to drive back and forth every day on the north and east side of the river to work? I remember the state of Texas telling Dallas they had to do something with I-35 and I-30 Canyon. One councilman made a statement, if we ever had a major truck accident, it would shut the freeways down. Also, it took him 30 minutes longer to drive to a meeting on 35. The day before the city council meeting, I left Louisville, drove downtown to I-35. The traffic's only moving 10, 15 miles an hour besides stopping and going.
Do y'all remember July the 25th, 2007, when Welder Supply Oxygen Plant blew up in the canyon? It shut down the freeways for almost the whole day. My mother passed away January 1st. Her viewing was on Friday night. We had a small ice storm. The viewing was at Laureland Funeral Home. I left North Dallas. It took forever to get across the river. Both freeways and all the bridges across the river were not moving or very slow. The state and North Texas tollway authorities already spent millions of dollars on planning, acquisition of land, building access points to the Trinity Toll Road. Does the city have their portion of the money? Or did the police and firemen fund take the money for that portion? I know we passed quite a few bonds for the money. And then the city council acted that they were going to build a 200-acre park. Ms. Simmons is going to build a park. So that's going to add another congestion to I-30 and everything.
Thank you.
The last thing I have to say. Okay.
Thanks.
Your next.
Thank you. Please go ahead. Go ahead. Finish up.
Okay, the last thing I have to say is about tearing down and moving monuments on the parks. We only have a few of them. And to me, it was done in such a haste, fast deal. Nobody did research. George Washington spent the last couple of years of his life successfully getting the black schools funded by the state. And at the end of the war, prior to the war, his wife broke the law by teaching the slaves how to read and write. And then everybody's labeling him as a racist. And it shouldn't be done that way. He should be more respected because, to me, I feel like if he spent 2 years right before he passed away successfully getting the black schools funded by the state, then that's not a racist, especially back in that time.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Your next speaker, Linda Newland. Ms. Newland will be followed by Jermaine Samuel, Celeste Scott, Carmen Johnson, William Woods, and Leon Coleman.
Good day, Mayor and Council members. My name is Linda Newland. I live at 2468 Dorrington Drive. I'm here again today to speak about the fluoride issue. It's just not right to add fluoride to Dallas's already naturally fluoridated water. It's just not right, as a lot of people believe it is harmful to our bodies. It's just not right to spend approximately $300,000 per year to add fluoride to our Dallas's naturally already fluoridated water, as that money can be used for other purposes. It's just not right for the Dallas City Council to not really listen to the opposers of adding fluoride to Dallas's already naturally fluoridated water. Because I have noticed that some people don't pay attention to the speakers. Why should the speakers come to speak and y'all do not listen? Have y'all really investigated this issue with the fluoride being in the water? Have y'all? Do y'all even use the water coming out of the Dallas faucets?
Or do y'all use bottled water? Please do the right thing and stop adding fluoride to Dallas's already fluoridated waters. Our bodies will appreciate it tremendously. When in doubt, just leave it out. There are a lot of people that don't believe it's good for us. So why add it? Again, when in doubt, leave it out. Please leave out the added fluoride. Another question, is someone paying y'all to add the fluoride to our water? That's a question I'd like to have answered one of these days. But I'm going to use up my full 3 minutes. When in doubt, leave it out. Please leave out that fluoride, which really is harmful to our bodies. Thank y'all very much.
Next speaker, Jermaine Samuel.
How y'all doing, man? I'm just really here, you know, just to speak on for my friend. We all evacuated from Beaumont during the storm. Been here like 2 months, and staying out here in Addison. But she went to the shelter. They gave her a housing voucher, which is a walker voucher, from my understanding. And when she went to Hunter Hill Apartments, the housing said they was going to accept it, you know. And they turned around and said, we got to know somebody making $6,000 a month. That's impossible for somebody to evacuate from a storm. So she could speak next, and I'm let her explain on everything that was going on. But, hey, I think I ran into you in the elevator. All we trying to do is get a house, you know. That's it, you know. Hey, I don't understand. It's impossible for us to know somebody that are making $6,000 a month. We got to know the mayor, huh? It's impossible, man. So we just looking for some help, man. That's it.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Celeste Scott.
Hello, my name is Celeste Scott. I'm a Hurricane Harvey evacuee, and my family, my 3 kids and I, was displaced during the storm. They gave me a Section 8 voucher, which this voucher was supposed to house me and my 3 children during this time. I found an apartment complex that was accepting the Section 8 voucher that I had, but she told me she couldn't house me. Well, she had a 2-bedroom apartment available, but she told me she couldn't house me because I wasn't making 5 times the amount of rent, which the rent is $1,249. I don't know anybody that's making $6,000 and something. And I thought that's what the 6 and 8 voucher was for, to cover, you know, for the rent, the utilities and everything. So in the meantime, me and my 3 children, we're homeless. We've been living in a 1-bedroom hotel. It's not for me, it's for someone else. But I have opportunity to, I have a ticket, I have an opportunity with this voucher to live anywhere in Dallas that I can. But everywhere I'm going with my voucher, they're not accepting. And I don't understand that because, you know, I thought that's what the housing vouchers were for. And everywhere I'm going, and then they told me that the voucher that I had was a walker voucher. From my understanding, a walker voucher is for, you know, certain areas. You can live in a suburb because they're giving you the benefit to live in a high quality profile area, you know, because you got to start from somewhere, you know. I mean, I don't have a job because I got displaced up here. My house, I lost in the flood, in the storm. So I came down here. At first, I was living in a shelter at the K. Hutchinson, which it was a lot of us. So they placed everyone in certain areas. I was one of the last one, and they gave me a voucher. I cannot use a voucher anywhere. And it's a Section 8 voucher. And I just don't understand. I mean, Me and my kids, I got three kids. We need to be housed. I mean, we got a store from somewhere. We need somewhere to live. And it's a lot of apartments that's available that's empty, that's accepting this housing voucher. And I'm not understanding. Why are they not taking my voucher? Am I being discriminated against? I mean, what is the problem? I need somewhere to live with my children so we can start, you know, our lives and build it back over again. We need somewhere to live. And we don't have anywhere to live. And it's a lot of houses out here that's empty and available. Because I called the woman, and she told me, she specifically told me she had a two-bedroom coming up available for next week. I'm just not understanding. I need somewhere to live with my children. It's not our fault we end up here. I mean, you know, when the storm came, this is where we evacuated to. So I want to kind of get me a job, send my kids to good schools in a nice area so we can rebuild and start our lives again. I just want a good area for us. I want us a house. I want somewhere to live. And I know somebody can help me out with it because I got the voucher and it's a lot of places empty. We need a place.
Three kids. Thank you. Mr. Rocky Vaz is going to speak with you after this. And he ran the shelter and everything, and so we'll look into your situation in particular. So we're going to jump on this, okay? Some questions. Mr. Atkins?
Yes. I guess my question would be...
You can
be,
go ahead and sit down.
I guess my question would be, Mike, as Mara, is number one on these vouchers. I mean, this is not with Harvey. It's through the whole city. And we look at the prior housing study that we're trying to wait till it can be concluded to see how we handle these vouchers. And this is something that is unfair to the people at Harvest who come here, but also unfair to the citizens of Dallas that who cannot take those vouchers to certain housing apartment place to use these vouchers. In this particular case, I guess my question, who issued this particular voucher to them? Whether it was the county, what that? Who?
I think it was FEMA. I ran into them at the elevator yesterday, so they're FEMA vouchers.
So if they're FEMA vouchers, so could someone walk me through the process of a FEMA voucher versus a Dallas housing vouchers? I mean, why certain apartments is not taking those vouchers? What? Could you just walk me through the process?
Sir Rocky Vaz, Director of Emergency Management. So I'm not sure if those are FEMA vouchers or they were DHA vouchers. What we had at Kay Bailey and working with FEMA, we had HUD and DHA working side by side, and if they were eligible for a Section 8 voucher or if it was a transfer from where they came, they were given that voucher and then asked to go and look for an apartment. FEMA vouchers typically are only for hotels. They don't give vouchers for Section 8 housing.
So the speaker, is her voucher, is a FEMA voucher, is a HUD voucher? What type of voucher is she?
I don't know. I'll have to speak with her and find out and look at those details to figure out what.
Rocky's going to jump on it. That's all right, ma'am. We'll do it after we're done here.
Okay. So Mara, I think that, you know, in the housing committee, we are waiting on the fair housing study to be completed. We definitely got to find out with Dallas housing how these vouchers are used and also why these apartments, complex and subject houses, not taking the vouchers. And that is a serious, serious problem in the city of Dallas right now. We got to find a way to stop this bleeding. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Fowler, you got a couple questions?
Yes. Ma'am, would you please come back to the microphone? How are you?
All right.
Good. What is the name of the apartment complex that denied you?
The name on the voucher is just...
No, the name of the apartment complex that denied you.
It's Hunter's Hill.
Hunter's Hill?
On Midway. I think it's in Addison.
Okay.
I have the information right here in my folder.
Okay. And what exactly did they say to you, ma'am?
When I first called the apartment complex, I asked her, I said, ma'am, I said, how are you doing? I said, do you have any two-bedroom apartments available? And she told me, yes, she has one coming up on the 20th. So I told her that I had received a Section 8 voucher, and I asked her, do y'all accept Section 8 vouchers? She told me, yeah. So when I went in, I filled out the application and started the process. She called me back later, and she said, well, ma'am, I don't think I would be able to accept your application unless you have someone to stand behind you that makes five times the rent amount, which the rent is $1,249 a month. That's putting me at knowing somebody that's making like $6,000 and something a month. I say, well, I don't know anybody, ma'am, that makes that kind of money. I say, my mom and my dad. My dad is a school coach out in Beaumont. I said, but he's not living here with me. And she said, well, he doesn't have to live with you. Just see if you can get him to fill out a $50 application fee, and we're going to see, can you qualify? But then I say, well, he just makes $3,000. And she said, well, that's not enough. Okay. You wouldn't be able to qualify. Well,
just, if you just answer Mr. Felder's question.
So I hear what you're saying, and I want you to know that it's very disturbing to me what you're saying, and we're going to investigate this. Is there someone from Fair Housing in the
Well, this is in Addison. If it's in Addison.
Is it in Addison? Okay.
I think it's in Addison. I'm not sure. It's on Midway Drive.
Okay. So let me make a suggestion to you, and I'll follow up with you. I believe you need to possibly file a complaint with HUD. Sounds like you have a discrimination, possibly, with regard to that. And also the Apartment Association. I'll get that information for you. And those are the two entities that I would suggest that you make complaints. I will follow up with you on that and get your information. David, would you come to the microphone, please?
Well, can I say one more thing?
Real quickly.
Okay, well.
Yeah. Real quickly, ma'am. Go ahead.
I mean, it's just that apartment complex, too, and it's a lot of them also as well. But
okay.
Just real quickly, I'm going to go ahead and let him speak.
All right, come on. How you doing, David?
Hi, David Yogiera, Housing Department.
Yes. Is there anything that you can do to help this family?
Well, I can certainly sit down and talk with the resident and see how the city can go about assisting her.
Okay. And one last question, Mayor. Have you all spoken to the Dallas Housing Authority?
Yes, ma'am. I have.
Just briefly. Okay, I'll get with you. I just want to know if you've spoken to them, and then we'll follow up on that. You have? Okay. So if there's anything that you can do to assist this family, would you please do that? Would you get with them? And because, you know, it's very disturbing to me on several fronts. Even people, I've never heard of someone having to make five times the rent in order to qualify for a property. That in and of itself is discriminatory. Usually it's anywhere from 2 to 3, not 5.
Right.
And so I'm going to have that investigated because that is atrocious. That is wrong on many fronts. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And V, if you come back in. Rock, if you come, I'll make mine pretty quick. What I would like to get is a list of all apartment complex in Dallas that use and accept vouchers. Is every apartment complex in Dallas subject to having to have to accept Section 8 vouchers in the city of Dallas? I mean, I don't know if I'm asking.
So
just give me a list. I'd like to have a list of every apartment complex in Dallas accept Section 8 vouchers. Is that a possibility?
I'm not sure. By design, residents should be able to take their voucher and go anywhere.
Well, but let's check to kind of see if there's a list. So that when folks come, because I understand the fact that these were evacuees that came here to Dallas. They don't know Dallas. So they get a voucher, and they're going to try to find somewhere to go. We ought to be able to assist them and direct them where they may be able to go apartment-friendly that we know. It's something to drive across town and to not know and to only find out that they cannot do it.
Right.
This other part, as related to, and Rock, I guess to you, whatever it is we need to do, when folks are and have been evacuated, they've lost everything. When I say they lost everything, when they come here, it's absolutely no way under the circumstances that they have to be able to have the revenue and finance to fulfill the requests that are asked of them. Maybe through our state legislators or however, through HUD or somebody, the rules need to be readjusted to folks that have been evacuated and have lost everything, so that the standing rules that we may be governed by daily, there may be some form of leeway for folks that have lost it all. And I don't know. I lean to Mr. Atkins and to the council to counsel me as relate to housing. But there seems to be a need for something special for people that have been evacuated and have lost everything. It's like the fire that they had is going on now in California. Those people have lost everything. So when people are suffering to that extent, there should be a relax in the rule to some degree that would adhere to them, because you can't go somewhere and then all of a sudden think that somebody's got $5,000. So anyway, just give me the information I'm asking for. Assist them best we can. But let's try to prepare ourselves moving forward so that we can be better prepared for circumstances such as what we're hearing today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next speaker, Carmen Johnson.
Ms. Johnson, you want to speak, or have we taken care of this issue? Thanks. What's going to happen? We're going to close up in just a second. Mr. Rocky Vaz is going to meet with you. We'll get into the details, and we'll see what we can do. Okay? Thank you so much for coming down here.
Thank you. Next speaker, William Woods.
Good evening. My name is William Woods, and I worked at the State Fair of Texas from 85 to 2017. My immediate supervisor was named Steve Ledbetter, and he's an ex-Dallas police officer. I was terminated about a year or two ago. The reason that I was terminated, I found out that he said I wasn't intelligent. So I talked to Mitch Lieber. He's the president of the State Fair, and I told him that Steve Ledbetter said I wasn't intelligent. So after that, I talked to City Councilwoman Tiffany Young. She got my job back, but he still retaliated and fired me. So now he re-fired me again, and I'm bringing that to the City Council. He's been at the State Fair for over 20 years. He don't have any black people working in his office. He have all white people working in his office. We hadn't had no raise in about 3 or 4 years because of some adventures. So when I had talked to Ms. Lieber about him firing me, I told Ms. Lieber that we hadn't had no raise in 3 or 4 years because of some adventures. So that next year they gave us a raise of 75 cents. But we have, as a ticket taker, I'm a ticket taker, we have to stand out in the rain. Whatever the condition of the weather, we have to stand out there. But Steve Ledbetter, when it rains, he goes in his office. They get a bonus. We as ticket takers, I used to work on the parking lot, we don't get anything. And they fired me a week before the fair started. But they didn't tell me, he didn't tell me why he fired me. He just terminated me. And I had been talking to Councilman Felder about assisting me, but, I mean, so now I'm bringing it to the City Council. So if y'all can help me, I would appreciate it. Okay?
Thank you. Mr. Felder, you have a question?
Yes. You can stay there. I spoke to Mitch Gleaver with regard to your situation.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I spoke to him during the Grambling Prairie View press conference.
Uh-huh.
And he indicated to me that you and this supervisor of yours have a personality conflict.
Uh-huh.
And he said that, I said, he's been there 32 years, didn't have any write-ups, so on and so forth. Ms. Lieber indicated to me that it was a personnel matter, and he would not go into it with me. So I asked him to investigate whether you could be transferred to another position. And so we followed up with you, Mr. Woods. I cannot make them do anything. And so when you say what you say, be sure to say that Mr. Felder did get back to you, because I did. And so I did investigate your claim. I cannot make Mr. Gleaver give you your job back, in that this is the second time you've been fired. I don't know the details, but I want you to know.
I don't even know either.
Hold on a second. Yeah. I just want you to know, and I want you, you know, be sure to say everything, you know, because I followed up with you and let you know what he said. So I can't make Mr. Gleaver, but I want you to know that I investigated thoroughly your situation. And so I don't know what happened between you and the supervisor, but at the end of the day, I did try to get your job back, and then I said, Mr. Gleaver, would you consider trying to get him another position? That's where it is right now. So I did investigate that for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway.
Yeah.
Well, if y'all can help me.
And we are, and just let me talk. I get it done,
all right,
too.
Thank you.
Mr. Felder, and this is why we have to collectively work together. He works at the fair. He lives in my district, so we have a common cause of trying to look after Mr. Woods. Mr. Woods, you've been at the fair for a long time. I've seen you out there myself. Mr. Felder has made some steps in order to help, and we appreciate that. I'm just saying to you that I, too, will jump into it to make sure and to take a look, okay, to see how you can be helped. Most important thing that we need to be hearing today and that we've heard is that you've come here asking for help. And to the circumstances, and in today's circumstances, you need to have income, because that's the only income that you have. Now, when we go out and go to fighting for you, should we be successful? And I say, should we be successful? Then you get back to wherever you might be able to get back to, and can to do your job. And to get along and put things behind you, and I, too, am going to roll up my sleeves and do what we can do so that you can continue to be a productive citizen, okay? All right.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, just one quick comment. I know nothing about the policies and procedures of the State Fair, but I would hope that they would adopt some form of administrative agency or appeal process so these matters can be dealt with in a fair manner. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Next speaker, Leon Holman.
Good afternoon, council members. My name is Leon Holman, 1818 Corsicana Street, Dallas, Texas. And I'm here to advocate for the Amazon HQ2 headquarters to be located in the southern sector. I was informed by Economic Development that information as to where the city was going to place its bid is not public. It's kind of disconcerting to me, because I think that public input is necessary to aid in that process. In fact, for example, a friend of mine in Atlanta informed me that Stonecrest is going to offer a 300-acre site and the ability to name that site after Amazon, and they can have their own city. So I think that the city should be aware that a lot of out-of-the-box ideas are being put forth to draw this project to whichever municipality wins. I'm advocating for HQ2 to be at the confluence of I-20 and I-45. There's a lot of land there available. Amazon already has a presence there. There's a University of North Texas there. There are two major highways. There's a rail station there. So this is a perfect location for a project like that. It's going to bring 50,000 jobs that are paying six figures. And the southern sector has never had a project like that. In fact, since I've been here 10 years, I've never seen a tower crane going up on a project in the southern sector. So what I'm saying is the city of Dallas needs to use this area because it's perfect for this project. And I see a lot of projects go up on the north side, on the west side, but nothing in the southern sector. But yet the southern sector is criticized for high crime, high drugs, and there's no alternatives there. This project has a southern sector written all over it. And I would like to see this council propose that that area for this HQ2 project. Just because you take down a statue of a former Confederate general or whatever, that's a great gesture because we know there are no people who supported slavery that deserve being honored. But African Americans need jobs, and we need jobs that pay decent wages. And this project is something that needs to be put in the area that deserves to be put in based on the merits of the area. And just because it's in an African-American area does not mean that we shouldn't say go back to our different groups and say, oh, we're not going to put that project down there with those Negroes. Because when this country is attacked from other countries, those same Negroes go over there and fight. World War II, World War I, the American Revolution, we fought for this country. And we deserve to have fairness and equity and have economic development in our area as well as in the other areas of the city. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next speaker, Dorian Bryant. Not present. Ms. Mayor, this concludes your afternoon open microphone speakers.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Had one.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to mention to the members of the Administrative Ad Hoc Committee that we're going to meet at 2:30 in 5F North. The conference room 5F North. And everybody else on the council is welcome to come if you want to be part of the meeting.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned 2 p.m. Thank you.